Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." 2,000 years ago, his words came to pass. AD 70, Jerusalem surrounded by armies, the temple destroyed, sacrifices ceased, the end of the age. So where are we at on the prophetic timeline of history? Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," and that we have been made kings and priests to reign here on earth. The Revelation Red Pill, the kingdom of God is now. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Well, there you go.
Hey,
happy
guys,
birthday.
Welcome back to Revelation.
Hey, I got to do my own intro the way I got to do it. It's like getting on a horse yourself. Hey, guys. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you.
We're on the Happy Birthday Matt show today. That's why he's on. Just kidding. You guys, it's Wednesday. You're not getting the intro that Michelle normally gives you. You're getting my intro. You're getting Matt's intro. Welcome to the Revelation Red Pill.
You just got to be yourself. You know, just let it flow. Just be natural.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the show. It's Wednesday. We had probably one of my favorite shows, my favorite Revelation Red Pill shows ever. It was our 50th anniversary, and it was with pro baseball star Jeremy Sladen. And we heard his testimony, which you guys should watch, but it was basically two shows in one. And I can't wait to have him back on, not because I'm not interested in his testimony. His testimony was like a show in and of itself. The way God took him through baseball and stripped him down and brought him back up again. But when he started to talk about the end times and how he got out of the end times madness, and we started to talk about John Darby and Scofield and the Scofield Reference Bible and Zionism, I could have gone on all night. I could have him back on again and again and again. Yes, you guys know it's my favorite subject, or at least one of them. That's why we do a whole show on Wednesdays on this, ending the end times madness. Today, I've got Matt with us, and we're going to take a slightly different direction because we had something really big happen this week. Matt, tell us about this bridge was it an accident? Tell us what happened. Something happened in Baltimore, a bridge, Francis Scott Key. Oh, say, can you see the bridge is no more?
Well, at least they put out warning messages to, you know, stop the traffic. And at least it was in the middle of the night.
But what happened? Maybe somebody's been under a rock. Maybe they don't know what happened.
Well, unless you've been under a rock. Yeah, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, one of those big container ships was going under it, heading out of the port. And then it went haywire and just ran into one of the column supports. And then the whole bridge fell down.
Well, that's when we say somebody hit the oops button. Somebody hit the oops button. Oops, oops. Could you imagine me and the crew on the bridge? They had to know that something could happen. It seems like, and we're going to play some video for you guys, like they overcorrect and the bridge goes down in like slow-mo.
Down a bit.
Yours turned your volume down. Am I a little loud?
Oh, yeah.
What? How's that?
No, I'm loud.
I'm turning your ear. Is that not turning you down? Let me try this. Now, how's that? Are you one? Are you two? Can you hear me? What about that? What about this? No?
No. Wherever that cord goes. But yeah, there's varying reports of what happened out there. And yeah, that's a lot better. Sometimes these earbuds are so loud, it's hard to think. It's hard to even, you know, have a conversation here.
We got such a tall guy, your head's getting chopped off in our camera angle here. This is hilarious. Okay.
But no, this is just the problem with modern technology, mm-hmm. is that if these ships are primarily run by GPS, which, mm-hmm. you know, people say, you know, supposedly the Exxon Valdez that crashed, like, mm-hmm. what, back in the late 80s or something?
Yeah.
Like, it was run by GPS. And now, mm-hmm. like, almost every, you know, major person that's farming with mm-hmm. the big modern tractors and combines and stuff, they all have GPS
right.
controls. So, it's basically on cruise control. And then it's a situation like cell phones, where you have a smartphone, so we don't have to do anything for ourselves anymore.
Right.
We don't have to memorize the material or, you know, like I've heard various influencers say that, hey, you know, now that we have cell phones, you know, that I don't only know how to do basic mathematics and we're not like Doug Frank or something.
Right.
We can do really advanced calculations in our head. And the problem is if you're relying on the machines to do all the work for you and just guide this ship around the world delivering stuff, if things go wrong and you have a DEI situation where they're hiring people based on things other than their just skills and abilities and talents in that area, then things can happen.
Right. Yeah, though it's pretty crazy. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to watch some of the clips here. Let's bring up a few of these clips and we're going to screen share here so you guys can see what we're talking about. If you have been under a rock, Matt, why is this so important? What is this? What does this bridge do?
Well, it's just a key bridge that, like most major cities, I mean, it connects, especially the way the land's laid out there, it connects to bodies of ground that are separated by that water, and it's a major shortcut. And it was built to haul heavy materials and stuff because there's a lot of manufacturing that goes on around there, and there's a lot of military stuff that goes on in there.
So here we have another angle. What's interesting, Matt, is
like
that the power goes out.
That there's shipments of like toxic waste and different things that the bridge was designed to carry the vehicles that would carry those things over it.
So the power goes out, the power comes back on.
And see,
the power seems to move it straight, and the power goes out again. And the power comes back on. And it's it feels like when you're watching it that he's that they that when the power was on, like, they steered it purposefully there. Because when you go in slow motion, it's like it's gonna miss it, and then it's not, and then it's almost like it corrects to hit it. It's man, and then just the odds that it would just go down like that, the whole thing. We'll watch it again here, slow motion. Power's on, it's listing, power's off.
And some people have commented that
they were able to make a turn.
It's you can see land around there. I mean, it's not that far from the harbor. So, you know, why were there not tugboats guiding this thing out to sea so that it would not hit anything? And some people are saying that, you know, the Democrats and the Bidens out there types are trying to, you know, cut back on the budget of things like tugboats, and so then you're stuck with a situation like this where it's like, hey, let's just hope for the best.
So the timing on this is crazy because as we're watching this, I'm going to watch it one more time. I didn't know, and Matt, you didn't know, that authorities had were able to get everybody off the bridge. Nobody was on the bridge, but watch this. Here goes a truck. There goes a car. There goes another car. There goes more cars, more cars, more cars. While this is happening, look at all these cars are going. The authorities in this time, what's this time frame? This is seconds. How did they get it to stop?
The majority of the cars, at least in that frame.
Look, there goes another car. There's another car.
Yeah, at least it appears from what we can see in the video, the majority of the cars got off.
There goes another car. And then somehow the authorities were able to stop the cars just in time for when... Look.
Yep. It kind of clears up just right before.
Boom. There were cars. So,
but there's still
so the rest of us watching this back, we're assuming that there's cars in this bridge because within 10 seconds there were cars on this bridge. But somehow they were able to stop the cars on the bridge within those 10 seconds and get the rest of those cars off that bridge.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that it wasn't worse than it was.
All right, so this is interesting. Some of people are wondering what was in the cargo on the ship. Here's some cargo. Now, these are, looks like unwashed pellets. What do you think those are?
Unwashed what?
Pellets. Pellets. Animal skins.
No, pelts.
Pelts. Sorry. Oops. Pellets. Pelts. What do you think? Do you think they're legal? They're illegal? I don't know.
I don't
know.
Deer
skins going over?
Yeah, unless it's, you know, cheaper to bring that stuff in from overseas and then...
Are those deer? Look like deer.
Something like that, or like goat like skins deer. Or something yeah. like that.
So are they legal? Illegal? Because there's some, the question is, could there have been something on those containers that might be a problem?
Nothing's out of the realm of possibility at this point.
So before I get over here to...
And obviously, you know, the United States in recent years isn't exactly making friends overseas.
Not exactly making friends.
On a lot of different fronts, so there's...
All right, Matt.
A lot of different people that, you know, could be trying to shoot a shot across the bow, like, you know, Russia after the event in Moscow...
Is it
to was, say something like
that's
hey,
what I'm getting? That's it, what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting ready to ask you. Was it an accident or was this an attack?
Because just a couple days ago, Putin said basically, United States, UK, Ukraine, we know you were behind it. We know you did it.
So we had Russia and Scott and Michelle talk about this. Russia had a huge terrorist attack. Paid mercenaries is what I'm calling it. It was not an radical Islamic terror attack. Because the guys that they arrested were singing like birds. They didn't go down with the ship. They weren't Islamic terrorists. They were paid. They were hired in Turkey to do this.
And, you know, it's kind of funny because Ukraine's been getting a lot of money these days from various sources, you know.
So was this an attack from Russia? Could it, you know, I don't know. The pilot... What do you call it? The captain, not the pilot. The captain of this ship was Ukrainian, and there was a whole Indian crew.
Well, and like General Flynn said,
was it
if that's a major military attack? Area there, then by strategically taking out that bridge, then you eliminate any ship from going in or going out.
It's a huge deal. They're talking about
so it's going to be blocked where are they for going a while, to? It's going to be who knows how long till it's cleaned up.
Yeah, before we go down the conspiracy route, which we're going to go, yeah, it could be years. It could be years. Let's hit the Baltimore mayor here. Here's what he has to say here.
Well, I am joined now by the Baltimore mayor, Brandon Scott. Sir, we appreciate your time, Mr. Mayor. I know it has been one heck of a day. There's no question about that. The first, I think, and most important question, when you talk to members of your community, how are they doing right now?
Well, people are shaking. This is an unthinkable and unspeakable tragedy. When you think and live in Baltimore, this bridge is iconic. We don't know a time. Many of us, this bridge is older than me, without looking through that harbor or looking up into the harbor and seeing that iconic bridge. Those videos hurt because we think about our residents that were
my
on
screen,
that bridge.
Screen sharing?
Those folks that we're actively searching for right now.
Hang on.
And their families who are holding on the hope that they'll walk back into the door later on tonight.
The governor, Wes Moore, making very clear, as explicitly as he could, it is still a search Absolutely. And rescue operation. We see the Coast Guard helicopters that are still flying over us and across. We see the boats still just a couple hundred yards behind us in the water in the bridge. What news have you been given about those who are unaccounted for, how many, and whether or not anybody has been recovered at this point?
Well, listen, we are still looking actively for six folks. I've been across the water with my fire department, with the Coast Guard, with the county fire department, with the state's folks who have dive teams, the police departments, everyone is working here together. From President Biden and his team, Secretary Buttigieg, Governor Moore, myself, the county executive, this is a full team effort to find these individuals and help Baltimore and this community rebuild. But today, our focus is right.
Isn't it amazing how many containers are on those barges?
You're not giving me a lot of confidence here when you're talking about your team.
Pete Buttigieg, I'm putting a team members together, I'm not putting Pete Buttigieg on my team.
Transportation, that's a really good thing.
Baltimore mayor says bridge collapse is an unspeakable tragedy. Here from R. Insler, anyone saying the key bridge being hit in Baltimore cannot be an attack, knows nothing about the vulnerability of cargo ships, or they are complicit in a cover-up, knowingly or unknowingly. Ships often use operating technologies that respond to NMEA, what is that, 0183, encrypted messages that can control anything from GPS data to engine revs and rudder control. If the lights in the ship went out and it rammed full speed, they may have been trying to reset the power and regain control. They could have just also just this could also just be evidence of the hackers taking control of even the lighting systems, impeding the crew's response to stop the ship by flashing lights. This threat profile has been known since at least the 2014-18-22, since they are there are free white papers out there in those times. So this is a threat that is known, where these ships could be taken over, right? Michelle wants me to play this telegram. Michelle, can they see it over here in the screen share?
Yeah, so I'm a chief engineer, and I've worked on ships like this my whole life. This is a Panamax, so a Neo-Panamax design, largest ship that can get through the Panama Canal.
Let me know if you guys can see this.
In Hyundai Heavy Industries. I worked in Hyundai Heavy Industries and went on board a sister ship to the Dali.
These yes
ships
or no?
Are operated in and out of the...
Remember, I told you I had to switch it.
Oh, I thought you've got it set up.
I gave you directions.
Yeah, I thought you said, but then I'm going to go ahead and get it set up.
No, I did. Watch.
Okay. Ready?
Boom. Wait. Then they'll see. You closed him. Why did you close him?
I didn't close him.
Yes, you did.
Nope. Okay. He's my friend. I would never close him.
Somebody closed him.
I just had him open. He was big, the whole screen.
Well, that's the problem. That's when, so you weren't supposed to make him big.
Okay.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Yeah, so I'm a chief engineer. There he was. I've worked on ships like this my whole life. This is a Panamax, so a Neo-Panamax design, largest ship that can get through the Panama Canal.
This one's hard.
Built in Hyundai Heavy Industries. I worked in Hyundai Heavy Industries and went on board a sister ship to the Dali. These ships are operated in and out of the U.S. and get around the Jones Act by having foreign crews. As long as they don't come into two U.S. ports, one after the other, they're allowed to be foreign flagged and use our ports. The crew on a ship like this is paid very low wages and could be from anywhere in the world, Indian, Sri Lanka, Filipino. These ships like these are maintained on shoestring budgets. The shipping industry is very competitive, and how much money you spend on maintenance can make or break a contract. These ships have the minimum safety designs to be seaworthy enough to enter U.S. waters. They generally don't meet Coast Guard regulations. Ships like these don't have very many redundant power systems. In the case of a power outage like we saw here, the blackout, there's an emergency generator. If that doesn't come on or comes on and then trips back off, then you don't have any steering. This ship weighs about 100,000 tons, and with that momentum, putting the anchor down, they put the anchor down, it didn't really do anything. It's like putting sewing thread down to try to stop a school bus. The public lives in blissful ignorance of how unreliable and how poorly crewed these vessels actually are. There are many, many failure modes that can cause a power outage on a ship to lose the plant, both electrical and mechanical. Again, when you're doing shoestring maintenance, that's the kind of thing that happens. That said, this didn't look intentional to me. It looks like just a power outage. The ship drifted into the support for the bridge and the bridge collapsed. There's no conspiracy going on here. It's just lack of maintenance and human error with the crew.
So you could say that, and I don't have a problem. Yeah, I don't have a problem saying that, even if it was. And we are going to take the other angle of it actually being an attack. But this is the Revelation Red Pill, and why are we doing this story on the end times? Because this is going to lend another thing in the end timers boat. To look, things are getting worse and worse. Jesus is going to come back.
Well, how many disasters have there been since creation?
Right.
You know, quite a few.
There's been a lot, and there will continue to be a lot.
Remember when Jesus said something like, yeah, you know those dudes that the building collapsed and they all died and stuff?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So
it was end times, you know, because the building collapsed and...
You will have wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and things happening. I don't remember Jesus mentioning cargo ships taking out bridges, but hey, it could be possible. I was actually thinking about
the
it today.
Flying locusts or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
I was thinking about how the Baptists are usually the ones, especially Southern Baptists, are very much into the end times narrative and reading the newspaper or reading the news and then saying, that's it. I know that this must line up with biblical prophecy that Jesus is going to come back. And I was thinking about these Baptists, and God bless their souls. The Baptists usually tend to believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ended and there's no more prophecy. Like, you can't prophesy. They make fun of people who prophesy, make fun of people who speak in tongues. But they're the first ones to get, I think, because they're so repressed in their spiritual gifts, that they spent so much time in the area that they're allowed to try to predict. And that's the end times. You know what I mean? Like, they're allowed to be prophetic-y, but only in the end times area. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're only allowed to say, well, I believe, sorry, excuse me, I believe that Putin could be the Antichrist, or Yuval Noah Harari could be the Antichrist, or I. And so, if you're like, saying that,
these, like, you know,
you're trying to prophesy, dear Baptists.
Well, they have the Antichrist, like, boogeyman guy, and they got the false prophet, you know. And I mean, back in Martin Luther's day, had people trying to kill him in the church, mm-hmm. in the government.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it's in any time period, you could easily slip people into that place. So, like, you know, in the Geneva Bible, the pilgrims, they're being persecuted by the church. And so, you know, they were talking a lot about the church being Antichrist.
Did you know there was a second bridge incident that happened in Valley View, Ohio? Scott sent us this. Michelle called it the Scott Show. Scott sent me a bunch of links today on these different bridges. So this,
your mom talked about.
So something. Did you know a second bridge had an incident also yesterday? A spontaneous combustion situation with raw wood products at a landscaping supply center caused a massive fire underneath the Valley View Bridge in Ohio. It could just be a coincidence.
While everyone's talking about this bridge and the ship that took it out, how many of you heard about the bridge in Ohio from this morning? Fox News did an article on it out of Ohio. Cause of massive flames under Valley View Bridge revealed. They're saying a large fire reportedly caused by spontaneous combustion was broke out at Kurtz Bros Incorporated near the I-480 Valley View Bridge early Tuesday morning. Odd. Have you ever known a bridge to just spontaneously combust the same exact day that a cargo ship, as you can see right here, takes out another bridge in Maryland? You know what? People call me conspiracy theorist, and you know what? You're probably right. There's probably nothing to worry about. Two bridges in the same day, one spontaneously combusting, the other has a ship that mysteriously crashes into and destroys the entire ship that's going to take 4 to 5 years to
bridge humans.
No big deal. It's all just a coincidence. We're not under attack. You have no reason to plan for anything, and you should continue to live your best life that you're currently living.
Continue to live the best life that you're currently living. I don't think many of us can do that right now because we're all feeling, every time I do pop on Twitter, there was a picture over the picture, so you didn't see it? Is that what you're saying? Did Michelle leave us? Michelle, mom says there was a picture over a picture.
No, I went to go feed the pigs.
Okay, well, you heard the story. I think they heard the story. She said there's a picture over a picture.
Because you didn't shrink out the little dude's face.
I did. I actually closed him down.
Then what screen is this?
This one. I just played this.
Go over here.
Uh-huh.
Go to Revelation Red Pill. No, go to screen share. You're on the main.
Yeah.
Why were you on the main?
Oh, I see it. But where's the other one at?
Here.
Where's this? Where is it?
Now, you didn't close out the little guy like I told
you. Oh, there I went. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
You know, this makes me feel good. I'm actually needed in this world.
I am necessary.
This is why we talk about Jesus Christ and the news, and we're not trying to ship.
Eggs.
Let's pretend we have a podcast.
We're not moving big, giant container ships around the world or something like that.
Right?
That's so funny.
It makes me feel necessary. It's great.
You are necessary. You're more than necessary. You are More than necessary, Michelle. You are needed in life. We love you very much.
Yeah, we need appreciate software you. That's like some of those basic cell phones that they have for like older people. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Where it's like a flip phone or something like that, and there's like just a handful of buttons on there. Mm-hmm. Just ultra basic.
Yeah, let's do the flip phones. All right, so let's see. I'm sure that Facebook is not going to be happy if I'm playing Steve Bannon and Alter Conspiracy Theory, but I'm going to do it anyways. Was it in Tech? Was it in Times? What's going on?
CNN saying it's not terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's not. It might not be terrorism. But why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type. We need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other. This is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard, is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done, you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals, everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years. And how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. And when you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just bought 50% of the span of that bridge coming crumbling down. And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water, Steve, is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of that bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that. And you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And so you're talking 3 to 5 years at best. And what you're talking about here is probably building a new bridge. So what you have effectively done now, you've shut down the I-95 corridor that's above ground. So now you're going to have to go north to New York. You're going to have to go south to North Carolina. And your trucks, your hazardous materials are going to have to go around Baltimore now. They're not going to be able to go through it. And what else did you do? You shut down the sea corridor, the shipping corridor, because now the port is shut down, right? And so all those tankers that are out at sea that have hazardous materials on them, those are going to have to all be rerouted. And why can you not move hazardous materials through the tunnel? Why is this such a big deal? Because they created that bridge because hazardous materials, for example, oversized loads, they don't fit in the tunnel system. Yep. And there's other loads that are so dangerous that they require a permit. It takes time to get a permit. It costs money to get a permit. It requires an escort, right? You've seen it on the highways sometimes. You've seen when you have these massive oversized loads and they've got escorts all around them, these huge convoys. Well, what do you do on one of the busiest corridors in the United States? You don't shut it down in the day so this can happen. That means you can only move this stuff at night, which automatically impacts the amount of traffic that you can use. The tunnel is going to be overloaded. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Okay, I want to go. You just had this big thing with the FBI talking about the Chinese Communist Party's cyber hacking unit that they've been monitoring for 10 years, and now they're saying it's out of control. Are your sources telling you that they feel that there's enough information out there that it is a cyber attack, and is it a state actor or non-state actors?
100%, yes. They are saying that this is a cyber attack. You didn't have a terrorist group board the ship and commandeer it and take it over. You had somebody hack into the systems on board the ship, the GPS system, and reroute that ship. They did it in the middle of the night because they didn't want the crew to be awake. They didn't want everybody to be on full high alert. They wanted everybody to be asleep and you trying to wake people up and rouse people, because when I spoke to one individual who knows, who has, let's just say he worked in Baltimore for many, many years, and was there when that bridge was opened. He knew when he looked at the security camera video of the harbor, the long version, the 7 minutes, he knew from the start of that video, when he looked at that ship, that it was not in the channel. You need to be in the channel to make that turn, to have any chance of making that turn. So now you're traveling. That is a river that flows pretty quickly, Steve, even under normal circumstances. Right? And at a certain point, you're committed. That ship is heavy. The load is heavy. The water is flowing at a certain speed. You've got very little room to maneuver. So at a certain point, there was absolutely nothing that they could do to stop that ship from the course that it was on, because they were not in control of it. And they had all of these other factors coming into play. So when terrorism and counterterrorism experts look at this, when people who know critical infrastructure, there's a number of different people that I've spoken to, cyber people, when they look at it, they know exactly what they're looking at. And so it's extraordinary that anybody could come out now when they haven't had time to do an investigation, I know for a fact that they're getting people inside their agencies that are telling them what they're telling me, and they're making public statements that completely contradict what anybody who knows this terrain, who knows it, and I don't just mean the physical terrain, I mean the cyber terrain and the terrorism terrain and the critical infrastructure terrain and all of that. I mean, I've talked to people whose job after 9/11 was to identify, if you were Al-Qaeda and you wanted to capitalize on that attack, how would you do it? They were the people that came up with the term death by 1,000 cuts. And what you're looking at now is exactly what they feared terrorist groups would do to really exploit the advantage that they had after 9/11. Because you are bringing the United States to its knees step by step from within.
So, Matt, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you, Corey and Jason, and a lot of people keep honing in on all of these young men coming up over our border, not necessarily from just South America for jobs, but from Middle Eastern countries, from Africa, not for jobs. Why are they here?
Well, and guys like Michael Yon and others that are down there in the Darien Gap and following the flow of migrants into the United States, they all say that a lot of them are from China and other areas.
But it seems that some of them, many of them are not coming here for the American
families.
They're not coming here for the American dream.
American dream, yeah.
They're not coming here to build the taquero down the street and put on your roof. What are they here for? Something like this? Could there be more cuts?
Laura, how can people follow you on this? We'd love to have you back.
Would never ever talk to me. But we've reached a point in this city. I think, if you look at the quote of one of the intelligence analysts that I spoke to, right? I'm just going to read it to you very, very briefly, okay? It's not long, and it really sums it up. He said, they have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, a lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. And I would urge people, watch very carefully the people that tell you that this attack doesn't matter. Stop following them on Twitter. Discount everything they say because they're either totally ignorant and useless, or they are a plant. And there's a lot of Anons out there, right? And I follow a lot of Anons. And I appreciate and respect the work that they're doing. But we're in a moment of truth now. We have very, very little time. When you start to shut down, hazardous materials and the shipment of fuel, you know what that means. It means everything goes up. It means food goes down. You know, the access to food and critical infrastructure, that means that goes down. Prices go up. This is catastrophic for the American people, and it's catastrophic for this country. But it is a financial and economic attack. If you're not going to see tanks rolling down the street, stop looking at the type of, you know, conventional war and saying to yourself, well, if I don't see this, then it means we're okay. If people need to understand what they're looking at. And for those people who say, well, you know, the FBI, isn't it interesting? Christopher Wray just put this big counterterrorism guy, you know, he put him in charge of the FBI office of Baltimore just yesterday. And this is the guy that's out in front of the cameras already. Well, isn't that amazing, right?
Wait, so Christopher Wray puts a new guy in for the FBI in Baltimore the day before this happens? Is that what she just said?
If people need to understand what they're looking at. And for those people who say, well, you know, the FBI, isn't it interesting? Christopher Wray just put this big counterterrorism guy, you know, he put him in charge of the FBI office of Baltimore just yesterday. And this is the guy that's out in front of the cameras already. Well, isn't that amazing, right? Do you believe?
So I guess she's basically saying that it's sort of like.
Interesting. Yeah,
back in, some of the former presidencies at the presidential level, like. With the Clintons and like Bush or Obama or whatever, it's like if something's going on, then okay, you know, let's bomb a country. Let's do something. Let's shoot off some missiles to like distract from.
Well, whenever they're putting.
Else. So it's like, yeah, this guy can look like the hero.
Whenever they're putting new guys.
With the bridge collapsed.
A new FBI director in the Baltimore field, and he's already in front of the cameras. That's a plant. That's a plant.
What's like people say?
That's a movie. It's a plant.
People like Obama, they just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't see Obama as like your local, you know, city commissioner, county commissioner.
No, he was a nobody.
Like
he was a senator for a season and then he was the president. Yeah.
I don't believe in coincidences anymore. None of this happens by chance. This happens by design. And the problem that we have is that people in power in this country are complicit in the breakdown of American infrastructure and America's defenses. And Steve, this is one thing that's really important for people to understand. If you step back from this for one single moment, you will notice a pattern developing here. When we left behind $80 billion of equipment in Afghanistan, nobody said we had to do that. There was no one with a gun to the administration's head saying, get out of Afghanistan by this date. They said, oh, we made a deal with the Taliban. Oh, wait a minute. You made a deal with a bunch of terrorists? You're the world's superpower. You chose a timeline and you chose an exit that resulted in handing $80 billion of advanced military equipment to your enemies. Well, what did that do? It reduced the advantage that America had on the battlefield because you narrowed the gap by giving them technology that spent years, cost the taxpayers hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to develop. You gave that to your enemies. What did the Taliban do? They gave it to Russia. They gave it to China. They gave it to Iran. They gave it to whoever they needed to do to reverse engineer it and figure out how to use it. Then what
yeah,
do you
now
have?
They
Years
have the equipment
later,
and
remember
they
when,
can.
Under Obama, when the drone went down, there was a stealth drone that went down over Iran, and the Obama administration chose not to recover it. Well, I know people who were on a team of American intelligence operatives doing other work. They were on the ground in Iran. They were literally within less than an hour away from that drone. They had it within arm's reach. They could have gone and recovered it. And they were told to stand down. The Obama administration left that stealth technology in the hands of the Iranians. Fast forward years later, what do you have happening in Iraq? Oh, you have an attack on a U.S. base where a number of U.S. soldiers die and it's not detected on the radar? Oh, yeah, because you were using a stealth drone that you reverse engineered. So this has been going on for a very, very long
time. Or, you know, the attack against Israel was just like 9/11. And, like, what happened to this, like, super Iron Dome and they have the best technology in the world and all this stuff? You know, it's like you have guys going around and flying in on those, like, flying go-kart things. Like, you see people flying in the country, and they put up little YouTube videos or whatever. Like, are you kidding me? These things go so slow. And no one can see this coming on the radar. And, like, you don't have any advanced weapon systems to, like, take them out or, you know, greet these guys when they reach ground level? I mean,
so what it would seem to me is that we know that our CIA has the ability to go in and take out infrastructure. What did the Crimean Bridge in Russia, is this tit for tat? Their bridge got blown up?
It clearly
did one of our bridges?
Because we've been, you know, poking around with Russia, and it seems like, you know, the people in power in the United States, they want some sort of big world war with Russia, and it's like they just keep poking around.
So what does this mean, Matt? Just
trying to get them upset.
So as Christians, we're supposed to be the ones to get answers from God. We're supposed to be the ones who don't. I think it's Christians and pastors stay away from talking about the news. They're not going to. They'll go out to lunch with you and they'll talk about this. But they won't talk about it from their pulpit because they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're not listening to the ear of God.
Well, for one thing, you know, unless you're content with possibly losing your church, you know, if they're worshiping the dollar, then, you know, and they're 501c3, then they say, well, you know, I'm going to steer clear of that. I'm just going to give some sort of inspirational message, and then we go home.
So
if you got to keep it, you know, 20 minutes,
right?
You know, maybe 30, you're pushing it, you know? Right.
So, but here's the thing. Everybody needs to know. We want to know. We want to know what is happening in the world today. I mean, when the Revolutionary War was happening, you had pastors, you had preachers in the pulpit telling people, guys, you know, we're in a spiritual war and there is an enemy. And you actually had pastors talking about an enemy. That was an enemy that you could see. We have many unseen enemies. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to see beyond what is really happening here. Is this, obviously, any attack is a spiritual attack. So
we pray that these things don't happen and that no one loses their life or anything.
Right.
However, like, some things have happened and we have to analyze it. We have to go to God and seek his wisdom on it.
Right. Well, what Laura said was, whether you know it or not, we're under an attack. I saw somebody else post, whether you know it or not, this is a spiritual attack. This is when the country gets so far into the... She mentioned so many industrial things going over that bridge. Petrol, chemicals, nitrogen, all these things that we actually shouldn't even be using.
On the different points of... I don't know if you have the General Flynn clip pulled up, but he said...
I do not.
He said pretty similar things. So it's probably about the same, but it was on the first hour of Alex yesterday. But
oh, okay.
But it's sort of, you know, when you have a big event like this, it's sort of like drinking out of a fire hose. You almost want to pause it because, like, a lot of people that call into these shows that are, you know, really high-end, you know, structural engineers and whatnot, they're saying that obviously bridges like this take quite a while to build.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures where they built some of these structures, mm-hmm. like the Golden Gate Bridge in California. Like, literally, they have to set up, like, it's not like, oh, we're going to, you know, build a house. So you dig a hole in the ground and you set a form up and you pour the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally they have to set up these forms or whatever they're called in the ocean or the body of water that it's going across. And then it has to basically be watertight so they can pump the water out of that. So the workers have a dry area to work in just to set the foundation.
Oh, sure. Right.
The columns.
Oh, it's a big deal. It's a BD. It's a big deal. Yeah, absolutely.
So obviously doing all that, it takes a while.
It is. It's a big deal. If I'm going to play this clip, normally I would do a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo before I say goodbye to Facebook. I am going to drop. Michelle's going to drop. No, you're just going to go to Rumble because I'm going to play this clip and Alex is not allowed on Facebook. So, hey, Facebookers, you got what you're going to get here for free. You get to jump over to Rumble Facebook. So jump over right now because I'm just diving in. I'm just like clicking you off. Okay, you got what you got for free on Facebook. And guess what? It's a whole lot of 1990000, like nothing. There's nothing. There's no cost to run under click over to Rumble. But Facebookers, I need you to jump over there right now. So I'm going to play a clip with General Flynn and Alex Jones, and they don't like him on Facebook. So head over there real quick. Ready? Goodbye. All right, let's do this. I got this right here. I'll put this screen share up. We'll play a piece of this.
Financial world, right? Well, this actually will affect the financial world for sure. Mm-hmm. But these are events that happen that, you know, you just can't imagine that something like this is going to happen. There are ships that transit every port, harbor, bay, particularly the large ports like the Baltimore Harbor, every single day, multiple times a day. And for something like this to happen, this complete violation of all standards and norms, they have a what's called a SOP, standard operating procedures, that every single ship's captain has to go through prior to taking off from the dock itself, actually prior to getting on the ship. So everything that I see here, and, you know, I mean, the jury is going to be out for a while. You know, this is not, you know, I was asked earlier today, Alex, can we take the idea that this was a terrorist attack off the table? And absolutely, we cannot do that.
President Trump, of course.
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, black swan events are usually, you know, from the financial world, right? Well, this actually will impact the financial world for sure. But these are events that happen that, you know, you just can't imagine that something like this is going to happen. There are ships that transit every port, harbor, bay, particularly the large ports like the Baltimore Harbor, every single day, multiple times a day. And for something like this to happen, this complete violation of all standards and norms, they have a what's called this attack in Russia. The Russians are now coming out and saying that the UK and the US were behind the attack in Moscow. Mm. And then all of a sudden we have this event here. Now, you know, I think one of the things that we do have to remember is that, because I heard coming in this morning early that there were at least six bridge workers that were on that bridge, working on that bridge. And there are obviously some cars that are unaccounted for now. So there are going to be people that probably tragically lost their lives because of this incident. And I'm going to call it an incident. I'm not going to call it an accident just yet. We've all seen the videos where the lights went out on the ship. We've all seen the black smoke coming out of the top of it before they, you know. And I said in my post this morning that people ought to look, start with the harbor master, because the harbor master has to answer a lot of questions about, you know, were standard operating procedures followed to the letter? And this is not only a massive commercial disaster, but this is a military and a national security disaster, because the Baltimore Harbor is a place where there was an awful lot of military activities, and it's a transit point for many, many different types of functions and capabilities that the United States government uses, right? So this is bad. We cannot take off the table anything right now. I understand it's a Singapore flag vessel. We'll have to see what that means. What does that mean? And I mean, everything is going to have to be checked. And one of the first things, obviously, is to try to find out if there was anybody that was killed because of this. And obviously, there's six affected. Yeah, over the things that truly matter. And I just felt that. I felt that in my gut. And boy, to me, this is one of those things that you can't imagine. I didn't wake up this morning thinking that this was what we were going to have. I thought maybe, you know, another terrorist attack or something like that, because we've had invading forces coming.
So black swan event, Matt, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what a black swan event is. Lynette talks about them all the time.
Well, it's basically, you know, the average person around the world or in America, they're just kind of living their life, doing their thing, and it's sort of like
something out of nowhere, something you can't predict.
It's kind of related, I guess, to a false flag, where it's just something that comes out of nowhere and it
totally chaos disrupts all systems. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just some sort of major shift.
Yeah, so Lynette's been talking about that. That's what I've been telling you guys, to get into gold and silver. Check out ITM Trading. It's in the description. If you guys have any money, any savings, get it out of the system. Please get out of the system. These things are going to... Now we're going to talk about how prophetically this is happening. So let's start talking a little bit about the solar eclipse and the big event that's going to be happening on April 8th at Harvest Revival Center, Pastor Neil Peterson Church. Scott Kesterson is doing his cross-country drive. Again, I don't know how this man does it. He's driving from Oregon. It might as well be that he's driving from China.
Well, what's the other option?
Fly?
I mean, are you kidding me? Have you been watching the news? Like, you can't even go on social media without seeing some sort of random video. You
don't even try almost as long to drive as it does the Oregon Trail with the oxen.
You don't have to try to find these things.
It's forever.
It's just a one of those videos that's in your feed that just starts playing automatically like, wow.
Yeah, I know.
People are on the airplane.
No, I don't trust flying either. I get it.
And they have their cell phone next to the window. And
I know. And I know. The nuts and bolts. Nobody wants to get on a Boeing 747 ever again. Let's get, the Wright brothers up there with their little paper airplanes or something. It might be safer. But so Scott's coming. He got the solar eclipse. There's a spiritual meaning behind this, and I'm going to keep reminding you guys this. This is going to be my spiel. 2015, for personal reasons and for the Holy Spirit, I did a 40-day fast. In this 40-day fast, I prayed in the Spirit like I hadn't really prayed in a long time. That means praying in tongues. And as I began to pray in tongues, there were three words that kept coming over and over in my, or three phrases, over and over again. And I couldn't stop it to the point that I said, God, is there, could you please give me something else to say? And I said, Sunday, 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 Russia, 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 like that. And 1, 2, 3, Russia, 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 Sunday, 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 Russia, 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 and nuclear, and in parentheses, bomb. Over and over and over again, the Lord told me to love Russia. 2016, I recognize. And then he gives me a giant prophetic word that goes along with that. And I know I've read it several times, and I'm going to keep reading it because now is the culmination of that. We're at number two of this. When Russia, Russia, Russia happened with Donald Trump, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is that particular prophecy. And we heard nothing but the three words, Russia, 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 for years. So what God was doing was he was telling me these three things, these three words, these three pylons, as you could say, that like we're holding up the bridge. Very interesting that she talked about that, being one of those, the pylons, meaning if it had hit another pylon, it may not have crumbled like that, like 9/11 building type thing, where it kind of like, it fell really quick. Like it didn't look like it was just going to go boom, like a Jenga thing, just like a flick of a... Oh, let me just flick over a card or something. Like that bridge fell over like God himself had just kind of touched it. Boom, it's done. It's gone. Like it's crazy, right? So I guess they had, I would think that something terrorist would have known that those pylons. So speaking of the pylons, the Lord gives me this word. And he says, as you begin to see these things happening, this word itself is going to be fulfilled. So this is the prophetic word. And I actually wrote this and I wrote this down. It says, words coming forth from the Spirit like Morse code or telegraph. Sunday, 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 Sunday. Then I wrote this down. The 24th is the day of Pentecost, the day of the Spirit fell with fire bringing power to the preachers. Very important. I got this in 2015. Russia, 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 and then nuclear in parentheses bomb. And then here's this word that I got. Beware, America, my judgment is coming. It will be swift. It will be strong. Who can stand in the day of the Lord? But my people will stand. Many will die for the crimes committed against innocent children, slaughtered at the altars of Baal, money, and sex. You have denied yourself no pleasure within your reach. You spend your idle time either filling up with greater pleasures or dreaming them up. All the while you pray for my hand of blessing upon such abominable things, this was Holy Spirit, as football, baseball, secular music, which laughs at the face of God and spits at the cross that was endured to save them. America, many prophets have risen up to condone your idle pleasures, your thirst for recreations of all sorts and entertainments without end. You have ridiculed them, mocked them, and worst of all, you have told them that their prophecies were made up falsehoods from a degenerate, selfish mind. There are those who have listened and tried to heed the words I sent, but for you, your stumbling block, they could not. You, America, were once the shining gem of the Lord's grace and mercy and redemption. Now you allow every kind of sickness and disease of morality to spread, infecting millions. I will wipe out millions for the debt to be paid for the slaughter of innocent life, both here and abroad. For you, America, were not satisfied with your own murderous heart and ways, but you were compelled by your degenerate hearts and minds to forcibly spread abortion, homosexuality, and condoms. I don't know. God put that in there. And every time I read that, I leave that word out. But this time I'm going to keep saying it because we're on the Alfred Kinsey side now. And Margaret Sanger, y'all are red-pilled enough to get that word. Along with the vile idea that I detested the lives of the unwanted, unborn, the unplanned for, the forgotten. You have had enough. You have had your fill of sinfulness and lusts and perversions from the truth. I have marked those to receive judgment. I have sent forth my messengers. The seals are open. The seventh seal undone. It has begun. We're going to talk about that. Leah, you talking about Revelation? I sure am. I have marked those who are mine, those who have not received the mark of the beast. They shall not be touched by the plague to come. Only the vile deceivers and those who gave their lives to the beast shall taste of death. Look now, church, sing aloud, O martyrs, for judgment and justice once no more. It has come. I have spoken my words, have gone forth. They shall not return to me void. He has sounded forth his judgment that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Be swift, my soul, to answer him, but jubilant my feet. My God is marching on. That is the battle hymn of the Republic. You see, God comes and judges it in judgment several times. The battle hymn of the Republic was written during the Revolutionary War. Was that in times? No. But were they channeling the spirit of what was going on in Revelation? The whole point of the Revelation Red Pill is for you to recognize that God works in cycles. He works in seasons. And when you go ahead.
Well, I mean, the Word talks about how God never changes, how he doesn't lie. And so if mankind fell in the garden and they're sinful and they're deviating from God, then the way God's going to bring correction, it's going to be similar depending on whatever generation you're in. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's end times or whatever.
Right.
Any more than if a child's acting up and the parent says, you know, you need to go to your room for a little bit or something like that, or, you know, your toys in time out for a while.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean something deep.
Right.
Because God
Michelle,
is
we're
our
glitching
parent.
A little on the screen. I don't know if that means anything. My screen is glitching in and out, just flashing. Like on, I don't know if it's flashing on your end or not. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything as when God is our parent, so to speak, and you know, he's correcting people and bringing people unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, just the hit part of his character, and we want to read the word to see, like Paul said, you know, these things in the Old Testament are there for our instruction so that we can learn from them, and it's very valuable because if you love and care about God, then you want to read the word to know what his voice sounds like, to know, you know, how he interacts with us and so that we can really gain insight and wisdom.
Right.
We should pray for those things, just like Solomon did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, when I'm thinking about Revelation and I'm thinking about end times and I'm thinking about the end times theory from everybody, and I'm putting it together with the words that the Lord's given me, a lot of what we're talking about can seem or sound like I'm saying that it's the end of time, though it's going to be the end of another era, another age.
Just because God is, you know, bringing correction, it doesn't mean that it's end times any more than, you know, correction from a parent means that the child's going to go through end times tribulation or they're going to lose their life or something.
So,
you know what I mean? Due to some sort of horrible punishment or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but just because there's no end times going on, it doesn't mean that God is just going to let society just slide for forever.
So in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, there's a song of the martyrs. Next in my vision, I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 people who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a sound from heaven like that of a mighty torrent or a loud peal of thunder, and it was like the sound of a harpist playing their harps. They were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Now, what that represents is 12,000 from each 12 tribes that would be saved through that time of judgment.
You mean, you mean the Second-day Adventist view is wrong?
Sorry.
That we're not the 144,000?
Sorry, no, there's millions going to heaven now. Sorry, there's millions.
Force. Whatever, Seventh-day Adventists, whatever they are. I said second, whatever, close enough. You know,
I thought you said seven.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But there's more of them than 144,000.
Yeah.
So it seems like after a while, they kind of got rid of that. Like, well, maybe that's not going to work.
Yeah, no. Let me go. Guys, am I glitching? Is it my computer glitching, or do you guys see me glitching? Let me know. Get behind the Satan, we rebuke. I don't know. Am I glitching? Michelle, can you hear me? I don't know if Michelle's at a pet visit or not. She's not even watching my show. Michelle's not here. She's not even watching my show. Oh, well, guys, you're just going to have to listen for a while till Michelle gets back. It's glitching bad. She's not even watching my show. Say hi, Michelle.
You're live.
We're glitching bad. What do we do? The screen is glitching. Is there a wire maybe possibly unplugged or something?
I don't know. I can run home real quick in a second, but
what could it be?
I guess it could be the wire to the monitor. You could push it in a little bit further.
Which wire to what monitor?
So the monitor is going to be not a USB.
It's not a USB.
It will not. It's not going to be a USB.
Which wire? Wire from the computer or wire from the camera?
Oh, you think that the camera's glitching? Or the
I don't know. Everything's just glitching. And so they say it's glitching bad.
The whole monitor is glitching.
And it's glitching for the people.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. If it's glitching, is it just glitching for the people?
Matt, I think that worked. I think it worked. We're not glitching anymore.
So the monitor was shorting out because it was loose.
Yep. Okay. It was the devil. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, we just hit a button. We hit a wire. Wires came unloose. Thanks, guys. All right. Solved. Problem solved. All right. Okay, so I was reading Revelation. That's where I was at. We're talking about Revelation. We're talking about the end times and the Song of the Martyrs.
You got to watch it. It's kind of a tight area in here. So.
Oh, it's glitching again. You came back. Are you the glitch? You're the glitch in the matrix.
Well, I keep bumping into things. Like,
I know.
It's a tight area, so you got to watch it. You know, as a Pentecostal, you kind of want to, someone that's spirit-filled, you want to kind of move around and bumping into the screen and the microphone.
You're a big dude, too. Yeah. So, I don't know, dude. I don't know. We were back, and then you want to go try pushing it back in again, I guess. And because whatever it was, it worked when you were over there. Could be like
I keep bumping into everything. I think I gave that table a good bump on the way in.
Okay, because it's done glitching now. So try to. Okay, so what, do you remember the game? Nope, you just passed something and it glitched again.
It could be these headphones.
It could be. Yes, stop touching the headphones. Let's see what happens. Don't touch the headphones. Set to touch the headphones down. That's what it is. It's the headphones are pulling on something. Okay. Well, I'll give you another set of headphones here. Use these ones. We got headphones. You're going to have Michelle's earwax in your ear. Okay. There you go. They're coming behind me. There we go. I had a feeling it was the headphones. It was just you. It's just the headphones. All right. Nope. It's something about you, dude. I don't know what's going on. It's probably touching the headphones now. Whatever. Now these are moving. Yeah, these headphones are pulling over here too.
Yep.
It's something up with the Grodecaster, I think.
I'll tell you what. Okay, I think we're good. Nope, we're not good. Whatever it is. It's Michelle's Rodecaster acting up.
Just
put one in your ear. You might not even need any for right now. We don't have any clips going. I can give you my earbud if we need a clip. We don't have anything going on.
Yeah, I was just going to have us not touch them for a second.
Just don't touch it. Just don't touch it. All right. And they were singing a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this song. Okay? These are really cool. Except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. That right there, you guys, we haven't taken a deep dive into Revelation, but that particular scripture there in Revelation chapter 14 is talking, it's not some future 144,000 that are special. I'm sorry, they were already special. They were already special. It was representative of God saving out his people who are going to be set apart separately for what would happen in AD 70. okay? It would be the 12 tribes. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women. They are virgins and they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And they have been redeemed as the first fruits. Here's the thing. You can't have first fruits if now we're latter fruits.
Yeah, the first fruits went first. Are the people that were first getting saved after Jesus came.
But yeah. But exactly. The first fruits of mankind for God and for the Lamb. No lie was found on their lips and they were irreproachable.
And when we read that book, you know, or anything in the Bible, it should be in the context of us and our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are biblical principles that regardless of what's going on, we want to be some of the ones that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
And that, you know, he's basically...
So these are representative...
as being, you know...
So Jesus had 12 disciples, right?
Sanctified and saved.
These guys were set aside. He had 12 disciples. He had a bunch of other disciples, too. And 10 of the 12 disciples die for their faith. And they're in heaven. And when they're praising God. And what John the Revelator saw were these first fruits that are going to heaven. And they're asking God to bring judgment upon the Jewish people of that time, the Jewish hierarchy, the patriarch, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the system that had crucified Jesus.
Because the system has to go because the new one's
the
come.
Savior, exactly.
The new covenant's here.
Right.
You know, we don't need the old covenant because, you know, God says he's not pleased by the sacrificing of, you know, bulls and lambs and all that stuff. We need the one, like it says in Hebrews, we had one perfect sacrifice, and that's all that was necessary for us.
Oh, my word. Get thee behind me, Satan. What is going on? Making sure everything is plugged in.
So I'm not sure, like, how long you're wanting the show to be and how if we're pacing ourselves here as to, like, what we're saying.
No, I'm not pacing myself.
Like, here's the punchline.
Oh, here's the punchline. Yeah, here's the punchline.
Because, you know, there's stuff going on in the news right now about Yuval Harari and the various Jewish people.
Did Michelle send me that?
She said she did.
Did she email it to me?
She said she did.
Okay. All right. So we're going to bring up this Clay Clark video and talking about the end times. And you guys know where we stand. This is Revelation Red Pill. So we're not putting Clay down, but this is the word that a lot of people are getting, and I'm sure some of you have heard it, and so we're gonna discuss it. Have you guys heard? Go ahead, talk to me about it, Matt.
Well, basically, they're talking about wanting to build or rebuild the temple. I guess this would be the third one. And sacrifice these red heifers that they have out there.
All right. Third temple. Yuval Noah. How do you say his name?
Yuval Harari or whatever.
He's the AI guy.
And forget the fact that if you're not going by the grace and mercy that Jesus Christ offered by his perfect sacrifice on the cross to go along with what it says in Hebrews, I mean... If you're just going by the Old Testament of trying to be perfect in and of yourself, none of us are Jesus Christ. And Yuval is homosexual. So according to, like, the Old Testament, like, you should be stoned to death. So what are you talking about? But needing a
third
new
temple. You probably don't want... You probably... As far as people who probably don't want to bring back the law, you probably be one of them. You don't want it, son.
So you have these dreams about a world without hierarchy, without injustice, without poverty, and which means, in effect, a world with completely different laws than the laws we recognize, that we are familiar with. And the idea is that there would be this magical moment, the revolution, or the crusade, or we'll rebuild the temple, or we'll create a new perfect utopian society, and it will be a moment of historical redemption.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time.
We have the fantasy that we can split off from this kind of dissatisfied and problematic organic body, and on through one path or the other, reach a level of existence which is completely different, which is not tied to organic biology, which is not tied to these ephemeral...
Organic biology, that's just like human life.
And
what?
It's only glitching when you go back to the main and not the Revelation Red Pill screen. Stop clicking on the main.
So what am I supposed to click on?
Well, it's not glitching right now because you're on Revelation Red Pill. But you keep going back to default to go to here, but I need you to go to Revelation Red Pill with Matt. Click on that real quick. Let's see if you glitch. No glitching.
But it's not glitching right now at all.
Go to main.
It's not glitching.
Okay, well, don't go to main anyway.
I don't think that's what it is. I just pushed in a bunch of buttons.
You know, disintegrating you
everything.
And okay, but now you're not on Revelation screen share.
Some people hope to, you know, upload their consciousness into the computer.
So we have the priest, we have the red ether, we have the land, and we have everything ready. We just need to wait another 1.5 years.
A clear verse about the third temple, a straightforward verse is Revelation 11, 1 through 2, which says, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Jesus confirms this. In
We're going to break it down.
20 through 24, which says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you'll know its desolation is near, confirming the same thing in Revelation 11. In verse 24, he says, and it will fall by the edge of the sword, and will be led away captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
The Abraham Accords.
Okay, so let's break that down a little bit for people.
Michelle just said she didn't necessarily intend us to watch the whole clip, but, you know,
I think
the fun thing about doing some of these shows is, you know, those of us that have played musical instruments, it's like sight reading, you know? You just have like a concert or something, you know, and you just show up and you just try to play the piece for the first time, you know?
So this is where, this is
hard for us to know the exact point in the video where he was going to say what we were looking for.
We're just going to break down this whole video.
That works for me.
Because
let's do it.
For Clay Clark is a very end timesy, and I'm trying to get to him. Clay, talk to me. Call me brother.
666.
We are not living out the end times, okay? It seems similar because in a lot of ways, when I gave you that prophetic word, I talked about a seventh seal. I talked about a mark of the beast because, Matt, sometimes do you ever say, I feel like I'm in the fiery furnace?
Well, you know, as...
Or I'm in Daniel's lion's den.
Being in this... I don't want to sound like too like anti-kingdom message, but when we're in a world that isn't exactly perfect, where every person is exactly following the perfection of God all the time, then there's going to be little slights here or there, and someone says something kind of wrong, and someone does something wrong here or there, and people just kind of get stepped on a little bit, you know, and we go to God and for in those situations. But
what are you saying? I'm talking about, do you ever feel like when I say something like this is the mark of the beast,
what I'm saying is
it's just like Daniel in Lion's Den. I can say that I'm in the Lion's Den again, or I'm Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
The pilgrims went through stuff like William Bradford, like he grew up in a household where they didn't know God. Well, they didn't have a written Bible, so the parents, you know, he just forgave them because they didn't know what they were doing either. And, you know, he had to just flee with the pilgrims off to Holland. And then, you know, that wasn't the perfect situation either. And they were ungodly people there, and they wanted religious freedom. And so they came here and to the United States. But, you know, the founding fathers had issues with England and the UK. You know, there's everyone has gone through something. But it doesn't necessarily mean that just because the bully stole your lunch money or your milk money in grade school, it doesn't mean that it's end times. You know what I mean?
Well,
like just because
Revelation plays itself
just
out.
Just because,
just like know, I can say that I'm Daniel like in the lion's den again.
Like if our car runs out of gas,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean it's end times.
Right.
You know, it just means you get a little exercise walking to the gas station.
And there are tribulations, but then there's also very similar times when God will do like he's going to be God the same way that he was in the past.
Well, to go back to what we were saying earlier, just because God is bringing some kind of judgment to bring people unto himself, he wants people to get saved. And it's kind of like a wake up call, you know, because it's like,
yeah,
as a society in general, to like get back to the bridge and stuff like that. To me, when I see the bridge, I see, you know, Francis Scott Key, I see that this country was founded on Christianity, mm-hmm. and Christian principles, and their relationship with God. And that's sort of, you know, in my mind, what, when you, at least, even if it's a modern worldly bridge, if you hear that name, Francis Scott Key, it should take you back to that time.
Yeah.
So if, you know, God allowed the bridge to come down, like you said, it's almost like his hand pushed it over. Not that we're saying that he did, but at least if he allowed it to happen, even in some sort of like, you know, Job-like situation, it's like, to me, when you think about bridges, it's like connecting two things that are separated. It's sort of like there's a bridge in the relationship with the pilgrims and the founding fathers of God. And, you know, Francis Scott Key had it and the founders had it. And it's almost like by the bridge falling down, God's saying, look, this bridge between us, between me and not people individually, but that, you know, on average,
yeah,
in America, it's like that bridge is crumbling.
Mm.
And it's like when you see train derailments and, you know, bridges collapsing and mm-hmm. just weird things going on.
Yeah.
Then you have to think, it's sort of like the foundation
mm-hmm.
of Americans, not necessarily saying that, you know, we weren't founded on Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God's talking to like right now, where you're at right now. It's I'd say, just kind of giving people a wake up call mm-hmm. saying, hey, you know, the foundation of your lives is not me. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have that bridge of that connection to me, and you need to focus in on me.
Right.
And not that, you know, God wants some sort of 9/11 to happen or bridges to collapse or whatever, but it's in these things, it's kind of a wake up call to the average person. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? The person that's, you know, you're having some beers and you're at the Toby Keith concert and or whatever, you know, you're at the locally here, like at the Cincinnati Reds or the Bengals game, and you're cheering your team on,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, and God's thinking like, okay, you know, you drove yourself out of bed, you spend $1 zillion on the tickets, you know, and $1 million for that can of beer or whatever, and you know what I mean? It's like, it's all this distraction, and people are cheering on all these sports teams, just like your word earlier.
Yeah.
They're cheering on all this stuff, and it's kind of like, it seems like when Jesus flipped over the money changer tables, I could mm-hmm. be wrong, but it seems like he was referencing in there, have you made my house a den of thieves or something like mm-hmm. that. It seems like something in there, he's referencing Jeremiah 7, where Jeremiah's talking about all the corruptions in Israel and all the sinfulness and everything else. And they're so distracted by mm-hmm. all the things of this world and the hustle and bustle of sort of like the American dream of we gotta, the like these bumper stickers, the ones with the most toys win. And it's good to be blessed by God. Don't get me wrong. But if we're too, like, focused in on this life of hustle and bustle and having to make a ton of money and stuff like that, God's probably thinking, okay, you know, you're cheering on your favorite sports team or, you know, porn or whatever the case might be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, are you really giving me praise? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Do you, like, sing out your praises to me? You know, you're cheering on your favorite sports teams. You know, have you ever read my word or have you read it lately? Because you know all the names and numbers of all the players on who knows how many sports teams. You know all their statistics, but, mm-hmm. you know, have you really looked into my word at all? You know, are you at all interested?
Mm.
So in the relationship,
in my prophetic word, I said the seventh seal is undone. That's the last seal. And if you Wikipedia the seventh seal, you're going to get, which is hilarious to me. You're going to get, we are now living in the last days. You're going to get the, we're in the sixth seal. Wikipedia says, we are now living during the final years of the sixth seal, that the 1,000-year period, which began in 1000 AD and will continue through Saturday night of the time until just before the sabbatical era when Christ shall reign personally on earth, when all of the blessings of the great millennium shall be poured out. That right there is what Wikipedia says about the seventh seal. And to Clay Clark and to all the end timers, you have to understand that we are living in the kingdom age, that these seals have already been opened. Who is worthy to open these up? You have to look at the time frames. There is no, let me just be really clear, there is no third temple. Prophetically in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say, when he's talking about Luke, when it's Revelation, does not mention the destruction. Here's the thing. If Revelation is talking about a third temple, then Revelation must needs talk about a temple first being destroyed and then a temple being rebuilt. It does not. What Revelation is talking about there, the measuring of the temple is the measuring of Herod's temple, not a new temple being built. And so you've got Yuval Noah Harari or anybody else who's talking about a third temple that Jews are believing in, and who the Zionists are believing that there's going to be some sort of new temple being built. They can build it. Well, they can do whatever they want. It doesn't mean it's prophetic. It doesn't mean that it's from Revelation. It doesn't mean that God prophetically said it. And God did not prophesy a third temple.
It's, you know, it's because, you know, people aren't walking with God and stepping up to their just God-given roles, whatever they might be.
Luke 21:24. This is a great scripture. It says, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. Let me bring this up so you guys can read this. And we're going to break this down because I know you guys love Clay. I love Clay. He's a friend. But this, he's dead wrong. He's absolutely, completely dead wrong. And I love Amanda Grace, and she's wrong if she thinks we're in the end times. And that is why we're losing on all fronts.
Well, to me.
And we're going to continue to lose because Luke, let me explain this, why I brought this up. Luke 21:24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive unto all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, and that at the times the Gentiles are being fulfilled. You have to understand, we're talking about Jews versus Gentiles. We're talking about the old covenant versus the Gentiles. We're in the church age now. We're Christians. There's no Jews and Gentiles anymore. Paul even says that we're getting to a place where there's no more Jews and Gentiles. So the scripture says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, they've got that right. But that already happened. You don't get to say it's going to happen again. And that's what it's cognitive dissonance to say this happened. Jerusalem was surrounded by armies. Do you know what? The temple was already destroyed one time. They're believing the temple is going to be destroyed again. That's not scriptural. It's not, there's no scriptural basis for it whatsoever. It doesn't make sense. And there is, we are not in this, if you were the devil and you wanted to get Christians to lay down their sword, you would get them to believe in this end times nonsense.
To your point about no Jews and Gentiles, I mean, I could be wrong, but it seems like the Bible talks about Abraham being from the land of Ur or something. And when you look up where he was from, like, he wasn't just like Star Trek, like, boom, he just appears on the earth out of nowhere. He wasn't created out of just absolute nothing like Adam and Eve. Like, he's some super special creation. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they were Gentiles. You know, they come from Chaldea. Chaldea is part of the Babylonian Empire, because there is the Assyrian Empire and then Chaldea, and both of those are swallowed up in, like, you know, right. modern day, like, you know, there are various wars, like in World War One or World War Two or something. And then, you know, Germany or France get bigger or smaller, and they just acquire that territory.
So let me explain.
So if he is a Gentile, then there's no, like, special race. There's you know, all of us need a savior.
The time of the Gentiles
are created by God, and we all go back to Adam and Eve and the original creation.
The time of the Gentiles being fulfilled goes to
the simplicity of the Bible. It's like everyone needs a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. The time of the Gentiles goes to the book of Daniel.
But when you start exalting, like, certain groups, like, it's, you don't want to, like, be anti certain people groups or wherever they're at or whatever, but everyone's, you know, the same in the eyes of God. They all need him. So we can't get into this idolatry of
a certain race of people
over Israel, because, like,
or obsessing over Jewish
people. Original intent, God didn't say, like, oh, I want to really bless you like crazy and give you the land flowing with milk and honey and all that. That was good, and he mentioned that, but he wanted the Israelites to worship him in the wilderness. Right. Like, that was the whole point, is a relationship with God, and they were supposed to be this light on the hill. They're supposed to be shining the light of God. They're supposed to be bringing the other nations around this area that they're in to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, like looking forward to the cross of Christ or whatever. Like, this is the true God. But instead, everything just went haywire.
Yeah.
And now, like, essentially, the land of Israel is sort of God's intent then. It's was supposed to be like the kingdom just spreading over the whole earth. But
it was an example. Then, Israel was an example.
But when we obsess over this one little
piece of land,
this strip of land in the desert,
postage stamp.
Then it's like, okay, why does
the earth is the Lord's?
Why does this area
thereof
matter so much instead of, like, the whole earth? It's like, you know, they did, the Jews, they didn't have, first they need to get saved, but you don't need to move to this landmass. You know, conspiracy theories aside about World War II being controlled both sides by the globalists, it's like, okay, the bad guy, Hitler and his guys, they're gone now. Like, you can stay there. You can stay where you're
at. You can stay in Europe.
You already own land. A lot of them own businesses.
You don't need to go to
You don't have to, like,
Israel.
Lose everything and start over.
So the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled. Can I talk about that real quick?
We do them a disservice by pushing them into this, like, you have to be here in
this tiny little
desert
stamp
area, and you have to. It's like they lost this situation with Hitler and the Nazis, and it's like, okay, now you have this, like, bigger problem,
right?
Because there's all this infighting now with the Palestinians, with the
absolutely
the Arabs and everything. It's like, this thing wasn't necessary.
It's completely unnecessary, because the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled is really simple, and it's played out in the book of Daniel. And the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled, Daniel prophesies it, and I'm going to talk about it till the cows come home. He sees a giant, head of gold, it's Babylon, breast of silver, the Medes and Persians. You've got the legs of, what is it, clay, iron, and then clay.
Well, so, that was the feet?
The iron, you got the torso or whatever. Gold, silver, iron, clay. And each one represents Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greece, and then Rome.
And some of the end times people, they talk about, the iron and clay, and they don't mix too well. It's not a very good union. Well, you know, just because, like, God was kind of describing what the enemy is doing then in that manner, it doesn't mean that, you know, the enemy, our adversary, isn't God. So, you know, there's no real loyalty among, like, people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like, you see all the infighting and all sorts of stuff going on between, like, the news about Puff Daddy, and, you know, he had all these issues with all these other rappers, and they're trying to, like, take each other out so they can each have the best albums and make the most money and all this. So, yeah, the world's kind of like iron and clay, but it doesn't mean it's end times.
That's interesting. I'm sure there are some end timers who are using Puff Daddy as the end times.
And Kamala and whoever else, but you know, there's no real super bond there. Like, you know, Kamala or any of them, you know, they'd push Biden out of the way in a second if they could have the shot at, you know, being in power or whatever.
Right.
If it was so advantageous.
The last empire, the iron and clay being mixed, is the Roman Empire. Until the times of the Gentiles being filled, because God had to use Gentile nations to get his work done. You see God working through all kinds of Gentile nations. You see the children of Israel in Babylon. You see God moving in the times of this Gentiles. And now we're in the church time. Now we're in the kingdom age where the church is growing and growing and growing. I don't want to go back over here because it's just always interesting to me to break some of this stuff down because you guys are watching it and I'm watching it. And I know you hear it from all of your end timers. I know a lot of the shows talk about this and I get questions all the time. How do I address this question? Well, I hope that addressed a little bit for you here. We're going to address some of these for you guys.
The Abraham Accords heralded the dawn of a new age of peace. But I believe that we are at the cusp of an even more dramatic breakthrough, an historic peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Such a peace will go a long way to ending the Arab-Israeli conflict. Now look at what happens when we make peace between Saudi Arabia and Israel. The whole Middle East changes. We tear down the walls of enmity. We bring the possibility of prosperity and peace to this entire region.
I don't know how to turn that up.
I discussed this vision of peace with President Biden.
So he's saying, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. This is a stretch for me. This is what we call reading the newspaper and trying to...
some things are just like a basic biblical principle.
And can you give me my Bible, please?
And you don't have to.
Thank you.
Got a lot of them around here. Which one do you want?
Which one do I want?
I mean, when you see the prophecies being fulfilled, then you just take the biblical principles out of it. Because it's like, you know, well, Pearl Harbor was end times. You know, but they look like peace and safety. And all of a sudden, the Japanese came out of nowhere or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's just a principle that, yeah, we want to stay close to God in a real vibrant relationship with him so that we're positioned as he wants us to be. And that's the safest place. You know, even if, like Paul, even if your life falls apart.
So, but at the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not have peace. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall not overtake you as a thief. Which is, here's the thing. There was a end times movie called A Thief in the Night. They use this scripture to talk and use it as a rapture, and that God is going to take, one will be taken, the other will be left behind. The thing of it is that the day overtaking people as a thief are for the bad guys. It literally says you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. You are children of the light. Well, therefore, but here, let me make a real point real quick. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep to the night, and they that be drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and hope and salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live with him. Comfort ourselves with the words. Number one, you're supposed to comfort each other. And number two, he's talking to that generation. We don't get to impose ourselves into this.
And a lot of, and if God,
he says, your generation, you people.
If you know, Paul is hearing from God and God wanted that in his Bible and written down as scriptures for us, then hey, obviously it's fulfilled, but there's a lot of principles in there that apply to now. It's like, you know,
sure, this
like, hey,
absolutely,
you know, you're talking about peace and safety, you know, the bridge in your town could fall down.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you want to be, you don't want to be as those people that are drunk either on some sort of like drug or alcohol or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like drunk on sports or porn or something like that. You want to be sober minded with God.
Absolutely.
And following him. So that can apply to now, but it's not necessarily end times. And to what you're saying earlier,
yeah,
when it comes to other times, and I got a little bug flying around here, chicken food. When it comes to the Israel leaving Egypt, God kept saying over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
the Egyptians basically that are making your life miserable,
mm-hmm.
you will see them no more again forever. Like, yeah. you're never going to see these guys again. So, like, who disappeared? Like, was it the Israel got raptured, or was it like the bad guys went away?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. All right, let's go back. Let's break up. Let's talk about a few more of these things. Here we go.
They're the same optimism for what can be achieved.
That they want to build a train from Israel to Saudi Arabia to bring pilgrims to the Third Temple. This article from August 2nd, 2023 talks about the high-speed rail to bring pilgrims from Saudi Arabia to the Third Temple by 2040. The red heifers that meet the qualifications to cleanse the Third Temple are less than a year away from being ready to be used in that Third Temple ceremony. There's reports coming out recently that these red heifers could bring up to 1 million tourists to Israel. Biblical red heifer could bring 1 million visitors to Samaria. The discovery of an entirely red such heifer is a rarity. Jewish sources state that only 9 were slaughtered in the period from Moses to the destruction of the Second Temple by 70 CE. According to the 12th century sage Maimonides, the Messiah will offer the 10th red heifer. In keeping with biblical law, the heifer put on display in Shiloh is completely red and has never borne a yoke. Quote, this is an exciting and exceptional event for the entire Jewish people. We are already in touch with researchers and promoters around the world. We're waiting to come here with large groups. We have returned to the site of the tabernacle in Shiloh and are bringing back the Jewish past for the future of our people. And when the Jewish people are looking for their Messiah again, they reject Jesus Christ, something that I will cover as well at the end of this video, an extremely important thing to be aware of. Now let's take a look at this clip and just show how absolutely dead set the Jewish people are on these red heifers and building the Third Temple.
The Book of Numbers explains that ashes of the red heifer are used to purify priests for their service in the temple.
According to those working on the project, the ceremony of the red heifer needs to be performed on the Mount of Olives and in a place that would have looked directly into where the temple stood. The land I'm standing on, bought 12 years ago, fits both of those standards.
Rabbi Yitzhak Mamo heads Yuvnei Jerusalem, dedicated to the goal of rebuilding the Third Temple.
We can make here, in this area, the ceremony of the red heifer. That actually will be the first step to the temple. So we have the priest, we have the red heifer, we have the land, and we have everything ready. We just need to wait another 1.5 years.
It's interesting to think that right there on the Mount of Olives is where they could do this ceremony for the Third Temple in less than a year, and that could be right by the spot where Jesus talked about the destruction of the Second Temple and the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24. In verse 3 it says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Can't turn this up at all, Michelle? Can't hear it.
Well, they're having trouble hearing it too.
I don't have to turn it up. Yeah, but I don't have to turn it up.
Oh, no. What did you do?
I haven't done anything.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I haven't done anything. I have not done anything.
Let me see this. Hi, guys. Michelle here. Let's see what's going on.
Let's pause the video for a second.
Yeah, let's pause the video. They were telling me earlier in the chat, you weren't monitoring
hear
the chat, that they can't hear this.
Yeah, I know. I knew that they probably couldn't, but I don't have to turn it up. That's up all the way.
I see that. Hang on.
All the other videos they could hear.
Turned down. OK.
Okay.
All the other videos they could hear, though. And in any other video, it's just this Clay Clark video that they can't hear.
Okay. Let's see. We're on.
This commercial break is brought to you by PG. She'd like to remind you, but, you know, it's wonderful to have the technology to put these videos out, but, you know, the horses are real transportation. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about living off the land and, you know, instead of like,
I just think it's just too low.
I think that video is too low.
We're connected to the Holy Spirit.
And I have you maxed out on that. That's as loud as
well. Then we'll have to skip this part because you just can't hear it. It's his video. Because he goes up and down.
Okay. For when they shall say peace and safety. When you're done for another video, though, see this is maxed out. Toggle it back down.
Okay, so we're done. Yeah, we're done with this video because you can't hear it. It goes back and forth.
This back down.
So I think it's important
because that was the whole point.
Yeah. That was the whole point. We're there. I can't. There's nothing else to play. We're going to talk about the red heifer and the rebuilding of the temple. At least that I did hear an acknowledgement that Matthew 24 predicted the destruction of the second temple. Did you hear that? I heard that acknowledgement. Well, but there's nowhere else in Matthew 24 that talks about a rebuilding of a third temple. There's nowhere that talks about the rebuilding of a third temple.
If we're hyper, I can't remember who all has been saying it, but it's quite a few people mention Martin Luther, you know, obviously in his day, even though as someone that was really connected to the Catholic Church, that he had access to a lot of documents that most people didn't have access to.
Mm.
And it seems like in that big book by whatever his name is, that historian is connected to Kirk Cameron. He wrote that pretty good book on Martin Luther, and it seems like when they're first getting established in the church, they have access to more documentation or did than they might even have later on in their life because they're really trying to get him established or something. But he was
I'm reading the chat. Keep going. They were saying nobody's listening to the chat, so I'm trying to catch up on the chat.
Okay,
you gotta do both. I'm sorry. You just gotta keep talking. You just gotta keep talking when I start reading. It's hard to listen to you and read the chat at the same time. It's called chewing gum and walking and running at the same time.
I was getting distracted because I wasn't sure. Like
it's hard. Well, when we watch it, when we do the show, we have to monitor the chat and see if other people are talking.
All right. Well, sometimes like I'm going this way, you're going that way. You know, I'm just trying to figure out where you're going with this.
Okay.
But basically, when you don't have like all the documentation.
Did you say Martin Luther said something about Third Temple? They want to know.
No. Well, the point is, before the whole, like, Leah thing, was just that Martin Luther said, even if I were to die tomorrow, I would, you know, the world were ending tomorrow, I'd still plant an apple tree. I've heard various people saying that. That's a quote. I haven't personally read that in the original documentation, but people are giving that quote to him, and
He was not a fan of Revelation.
Back in the day,
Martin Luther was not a fan of Revelation. He did not believe that it should have even been put in the Bible.
Even if you're in the church, in ministry, as a priest, whatever, you might not have access to very much. Like, you're lucky if you can read the Bible or some basic, you know, teachings and stuff from people through the years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to have access to all this historical data about AD 70.
Right.
So because he doesn't see how it was fulfilled and how things made sense, he was basically saying, you know, he'd be fine with just throwing that book out. But he was saying, we live for God right now.
Yeah.
That's the focus. You live for God now. That's all we can do anyway.
See, Ezekiel that's the thing. Everybody keeps thinking, wait. Okay, so let me talk about the people are in the third temple. Okay, Ezekiel has the third temple dimensions. What's your answer to that? Ezekiel does not, the Ezekiel dimensions, okay, is talking about the New Jerusalem, okay? When you read the beauty of Revelation, is you have to read the Old Testament, understand the Old Testament, get it into your bones, and then when you begin to read Revelation, you'll begin to see the cross references. And when you see the cross references between the Old Testament and the New Testament in Revelation, you'll see that the New Jerusalem is what Ezekiel was talking about, what Jeremiah was talking about, what Isaiah was talking about. When you actually have the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation talks about new heavens and new earth. Isaiah talks about a new heavens and new earth. In Isaiah's new heavens and new earth, people are living and people are dying. If you have a new heavens and new earth, if you've got this this thousand-year reign where Christians are supposedly living forever, you don't have people dying. And so I know that most Christians believe that Ezekiel has some sort of third temple dimensions. It's that they're not, they're heavenly dimensions. They're not a real dimensions for a third temple.
Well, and I don't want to go like totally off track because I'm not like some sort of super expert. But when you see, I think it's in like Hebrews where it talks about the temple and it's talking about how it's a representation of the true.
Yeah.
And when you look at
bingo.
That, to me,
bingo,
to
bingo.
Me, what God was wanting from his people was just what, regardless of who it was
Thank
in the
you.
Bible. It's all about a relationship with God.
Yes.
And it's like,
yes.
We're trying to focus on
yes.
heavenly things. And,
yes.
and it's like, even if you're living physically here on this earth, it's like you can see in the spirit, wow, like this temple, it represents like, you know,
yeah.
some, you know, it's sort of like a, you know, king in a castle sort of a thing. And God's building and, you know, you got the throne and, you know, the holy place and something like that.
You know,
it's just kind of, it's a picture of.
Yes.
Of that.
It is a picture. It is a type. It's a shadow.
It's all supposed to point us to looking towards God in a relationship with him as if we're seated right before
yes.
his throne, just worshiping him right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than about the building, it's, you know, it's not necessarily, it's God's point wasn't the building or the killing of animals, although we needed to realize we needed a savior, but it's all about relationship.
God is not going to rebuild. If there's a third temple rebuilt, if there's any temple rebuilt, it's not of God. And that's where Christians get it muddled. They say the Jews are going to rebuild it, but then Ezekiel has the dimensions. That would mean that God told Ezekiel to build a new temple. But the whole book of Hebrews is saying everything was a type and a shadow. And let me get to Hebrews. Let me read a little bit from Hebrews chapter 8 real quick. Now, of the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesties of heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle. You see, if one day God's going to go back to the old ordinances and the old ways and an old temple, there's no scripture for that. Nowhere does it say here in Hebrews, nowhere does it say anywhere in the Bible that after the new covenant, after the destruction of the old covenant, you're going to live in that for a little bit. It's going to be really great for a while. And then we're going to go back to something old where Jesus is in it, is a high priest again in a physical temple. That's a different theology. It's almost a cult. That is a cult teaching. It is cultic because it has nothing to do with, Hebrews chapter 8. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of what, Matt? Heavenly things, Hebrews 8, chapter 5, as Moses was, this was it. So if you have a type and a shadow, you don't have a type and shadow of a real thing that will then be a type and a shadow of another real thing. It is a type and shadow of, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern shown unto you in the mount. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. It's more excellent by how much also he is the mediator of a what? Better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Now, if that first covenant had been faultless with the temple and the sacrifices and the physical temple, then you wouldn't have needed anything to replace it. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. That's the prophetic word. That what you're seeing in Ezekiel and what you're seeing prophesied is that you're seeing a new, we are now the temple. You're now the temple. There will never be another temple. God is not going to construct another temple. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not my covenant. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. And this is Zechariah 8:8 being prophesied here. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts. I will be with them as their God, and they will be my people. You see, Matt?
It's just talking about something that was just out of the realm of comprehension
before
Jesus was crucified on the cross and was risen again.
You couldn't think about it.
It's just you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you're supernaturally born again.
You could
supernaturally just have a relationship with God.
The Jews couldn't fathom.
It's just that simple.
Being the walking temple of God. He says, I will be merciful to the unrighteous in their sins and iniquities while I remember no more. A new covenant has he made. He hath made the first old. Now that which decays and wax old is ready to vanish away. Paul was prophesying because he wrote this while the temple was still up. Sacrifices were still happening. Priests were still in the temple. And he's saying it's old. It's getting ready to. He's literally prophesying that that temple's getting ready to be destroyed and vanish.
People that were wanting
vanish.
To sort of go back to the Jewish ways.
Yes.
And the
absolutely.
Jewish system. And then Paul, over and over again, throughout the New Testament, it kind of talks about how they were trying to like keep him on track.
Right.
Like that stuff doesn't matter. It's all about supernaturally being born again, having a relationship with God. And, you know, just a side note that ties into government because we know a country guy, kind of one of those live off the land type guys. And when people come to him that are running for office, when they hit his doorstep, he says, now, are you born again? Because he wants to know, hey, do you have a relationship with God? You know, and this is all about that just relationship.
But it
wasn't, the system wasn't able to function correctly when it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. And then, you know, when you're obsessive of things, then it's like the Jews come up with books of like 100 zillion more regulations. Because some people say, well, there's just the Ten Commandments, but there's like, I don't know how many hundred, however many rules.
That's what Jesus was saying. He's like, y'all got so many rules. I don't even know what you got rules for your rules.
Well,
you got rules that for your rules that follow the rules of the rules.
That's just the ones that God came up with just to show them that they needed a savior.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, there's God's rules and there's rules for the rules.
But then they came up with their own, like, okay, we think we know what we're doing. We're so super spiritual. So, you know, you can't step on a crack because you're going to hurt someone's back or whatever. I'm kidding.
It is very superstitious,
They make up all these rules. So then there's like so many rules that you're just worrying about stepping on a crack here or there. You can't just flow in the spirit. And
the Talmud is
full
of rules.
It's too complicated.
And that's what Jesus was saying. You guys got rules for your rules, man.
It's like the tax code. Like there's too much.
They were always calling Jesus out, right? They're like, you're not, look at you sitting with tax collectors. Are you going to wash your hands? And Jesus is like, y'all wash and wash and wash, but the inside's dirty, okay? So don't even talk to me about washing, because y'all dirty. I see the inside of you. I'm God, right? So when you're talking about the covenant, when you're talking about the temple, Matt, I'm so glad that you brought up Hebrews, because Hebrews is probably one of the most important books when we're talking about the end times and talking about the old covenant vanishing and the new covenant being established.
And just because something was created by God or used by God in
like
the Old
law.
Testament
like
doesn't
law.
Necessarily it means anything really deep. Like, you know, like in Proverbs, it talks about like various instruments, you know, just because you see someone in a church somewhere or someone in the world playing a harp, it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
It's more spiritual than a guitar.
Well, we don't. Yeah. Or like, you know, like I think it's in Psalms where it talks about people playing instruments like a sackbut. Well, just because I think that refers to like the modern trombone. Well, just because they talk about that, it doesn't mean it's super spiritual. Or, you know, I realize that the modern instruments are slightly different than what they were then, but just because like in the law or whatever, they talk about people playing a silver trumpet, it doesn't mean like it's ultra spiritual
to play
if you're in a church or something and someone's playing a silver trumpet instead of a gold one, well that's more spiritual, that's more godly or something. Like And, you know, I'm sure there's deep insight as to why at the time God chose to use the red heifer. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's
just, oh, I see where you're getting with the red heifer. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just kind of going down that trail of thinking where they act like this red heifer thing. It's like the end all be all. Well, you know, I'm not some sort of super homestead expert, but there's farms and ranches all over the United States with red Angus.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays a lot of homesteads are going with the South Poles, which they're kind of a lighter weight cow, so steers, whatever, so that then, you know, you can graze them in the wintertime. They're not going to sink in the mud and stuff.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You know, it's kind of cool for homesteading, but it's like, it's not that deep. It's not that special. They're everywhere. You know, it's sort of
why did God choose the red heifer? Now we're making such a big deal about this red heifer.
Well, they act like just because, you know, a Jewish, you know, rancher somewhere in Israel, like,
had a red cow. Yeah, all of a sudden, Jesus is coming back.
I got my red heifer. So this is prophecy.
That's, I get what you're saying.
So, you know, it's just kind of silly. It's like my country vet used to talk about the marketing campaign like years ago. About like all the fast food places, like before the quality really went downhill, probably. Mm-hmm. But they used to advertise like, "Yeah, this is real, you know,
black Angus beef."
Well, yeah, I'm sure that, you know, maybe they do taste good, but you know what? It's sort of, we like the Cooney pigs here, but you know, and Michelle's really into them, but you know, nothing against those pigs, but well, there's a lot of varieties of pigs, and they all taste pretty good, you know, and it's just you. Like in society, somehow it's like, wow, you go to this restaurant, it's a black Angus burger. Well, does it taste that much different than a red Angus burger? Does it taste that much different than a Hereford or a limousine or something like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, how much different can it be?
Right.
They all kind of taste the same, but they make it into this like huge deal just because they have a few animals over there, and it's like, whoa, this is prophecy.
We got 9 red cows. The Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming.
Didn't they have animals like on the Swiss Family Robinson or something?
They did.
Yeah, just because you get some animals, you know, and you throw them on a boat and take them over there and, you know, start raising them, like, whoa, this is super prophecy.
Super prophecy. All right, Matt. So we're going to wrap up our show because we got some presents we want to open up as your birthday. Do you have any final thoughts coming together with the solar eclipse, the judgment, the third temple, the bridge? I really appreciate how you tied in that bridge to what's happening right now. That's pretty powerful.
You know, it's just pointing out the bridge to our relationship with God, and God wants us to turn to him, and he just wants to pour out his love on the individual people around the world, and especially America right now. And whether it's the solar eclipses that have happened and the one that's going to happen, or some sort of bridge collapse or whatever, it's just, you know, an opportunity for us to slow down from everything that's going on. And to me, we don't necessarily need to freak out like a lot of people in government are issuing these states of emergency, and this is going to be some sort of huge...
I've seen those. Have you guys seen those?
Maybe there's some sort of deep conspiracy. I don't know if anything that big's going to
happen. Don't travel. Don't travel. It's all scary. Things are going to be horrible, and it's going to be dangerous, and everybody's on the road, and you better have, like, my favorite one was have an alternative means of communication besides a cell phone. And I was like, is there... I didn't know there were alternative means of communication. You don't have payphones anymore. So what do you mean? You telling us something?
Whoa. And then North Korea or Putin fulfills some sort of prophecy by setting off an EMP during the
that's what they're saying, that, you know, it seems weird.
You know, it's an opportunity. Like, people are working and doing stuff in their lives, and like, wow, you know, this isn't normal. All this stuff is to wake us up.
Satellite phones, maybe. Sat phones. Okay, so do you really think that states are telling people to have satellite phones? What? I mean, this is coming out from, like, the governor's office. Like, I just, I, I, It's not truthers that are telling people to have an alternative means of communication. It's like the governor of Ohio. He's telling people to get sat phones? I don't know.
Well, the truthers that are
every cow is red inside.
Yep. Is that put Bible pushing down on the keyboard?
I don't know. Am I typing something out? You guys are so funny. Oh my gosh. Every cow is red inside. Thank you for that one. That one made my day. Thank you. Thank you for that one. No, that's good. That's good, Matt. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to travel, you guys, on October 8th. Don't be afraid to travel. There's going to be camping up at Neil's Church if you want to camp. Sunday night, we just hammered out a schedule with Scott. From 5 to about 8, there's going to be some fellowship, some announcements, some food, some communion. And if you want to just total rustic tent camping outside with some portalettes. Hopefully we can get some extra portalettes in Jesus' name. You can tent camp. There's hotels around. Hopefully they're not fully booked. And there is a KOA camp.
Share and tell all their friends.
Tell them to share. Tell all your friends. You just come up for the day. If you're in Ohio, if you're within 3 hours, get an early start and drive. The path of totality, it goes over the Dayton area between 1:15 and 3:15. Okay. Give yourself plenty of time to get there. Give yourself plenty of time to get home. Make sure you do have a tank of gas because, Matt, tell them how the traffic was pretty bad when we were going home last in 2017.
Well, I mean, a lot of people travel around the world to go to these things. So if there's a lot of people, then, you know, I might bog down the cell phone towers. But, you know, it's not much different than your line of thinking if you're going to some sort of, you know, worldly concert, you know, before we're saved, especially like, you know, some sort of sporting event.
Just be prepared.
You know, if you're in a major area and you have a football stadium that holds like 60,000 people or yep. however many are in these stadiums.
Yeah.
When
I mean, really, ends, it's not going to be that many. I mean, they're expecting an extra 250,000 people in the whole state of Ohio.
And like you have a massive amount of people that are hitting the freeway at the same time. You know, they're going to hit the gas stations or whatever. So you would just want to be prepared and have your tank filled up ahead of time.
You
so
can stay
you can
around
down the road
for the revival for a few hours. Let the traffic clear out and go out in the evening. You know, we're going to have a move of God. It's going to be pretty powerful. All right. So Dr. Sherry had sent us up. Michelle, there's another one. You want to have Matt open his and you want to bring down mine? Because I didn't get to open mine. Sherry sent you a present, Matt, for your birthday from Amazon. The Amazon bags. We didn't. Okay. Okay. Thanks. What'd you get? Oh, cool.
Awesome.
An LED. Show everybody.
LED magnetic tool.
Matt, that is a man's tool. That is absolutely
here on the camera.
Okay. That is so cool. You want to get it out and hand me mine? Hand me mine to open up, please. So we opened up Patriot Galleries. It is a It's a weighted blanket. Sherry, I'm going to tell you a funny story. So my mom's been really weak. And she laughs and she's like, what is a weighted blanket? And I said, Mom, people like weighted blankets because it makes them feel secure. And some people have full weighted blankets.
Well, I try to explain that it's like those thunder shirts that people buy
for the dogs.
Yeah, because a lot of animals, dogs, maybe cats too, they don't like fireworks and, you know, they don't like loud noises and stuff.
So I've wanted one.
So you put something heavy on them and it just makes them feel really relaxed and they don't go crazy.
She sent a 6-foot one.
Barking around the house.
I like to sleep when it's really cold with heavy blankets. But the problem is I get really hot. So I can't sleep with my heavy blankets, even though I feel better sleeping with my heavy blankets. So my mom's like, I can't use this blanket. No offense, Sherry. She can't because it's heavy. But the good news is I have used it
exercise
every night. For the weighted blanket.
Instead of doing curls in the gym.
So I got two presents. Maybe mom will get this one.
Lift the blanket. Do some reps.
You think she will? Mom's
yep, she's gonna use
it's,
it.
It's really comforting.
She's just exercising. She's
and
building
I
up the strength.
Like it. I have been wanting one. Oh, cool.
This is a tea making kit. Let me see. Mason jar cold brew coffee kit. You can use it for, looks like you can do it for coffee or probably tea. Oh, how cool is that?
It's awesome.
Huh. Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm going to...
All sorts of good stuff in there.
Whoa. There you go. How fun is that? Whoa. I bet you could do this with hot tea, too. I guess you could do it hot. And then you could take it out, too. This is a really great cup. Huh. Well, thank you, Dr. Sherry. Got some instructions in there. Cool. I haven't seen one of these before. Transform your coffee overnight with the only system designed to brew and drink delicious cold brew coffee. Drink cold brew straight from the jar. Make up to 5 cups and store in the fridge. And she tells me you can do it for tea too.
I'm sure you can put all sorts of herbs and stuff in there.
Huh. Well, there you go. Place it in the fridge for 12 to 24 hours. Well, thank you, Dr. Sherry. That's awesome.
Do we need
a heavy duty jar?
We need a knife for that.
What do you think? Do you think you can do it? Do you think you can do it without it? So Barry's package did come, and I feel like I really want to wait till Sunday, but I'm not because he's here now, and he says, please open the package. So Barry, please tell me that you're here. Is Barry still in the chat? Because I am not opening this if he's not in the chat. Barry, make your presence known. Please, it's probably late and you probably went to bed. So I'm not going to open it if Barry's not here. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm opening it. I'll wait till Friday. Barry, you here. Barry, give me... we're not opening it unless Barry's here. Barry, you get 5 seconds. I'm not opening it. Barry left. Okay. Well, I'm holding on to Barry's package then because he sent it all the way from the UK. And he's going to be here when I open it. So that's good. All right. Berries inside the infuser too. Good idea. You could use it with kombucha. I bet it's really good for a kombucha infuser. You know what I mean? Put your berries inside with kombucha.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, you guys. We love you. God loves you. Happy birthday, Matt. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Thank you. Blessings on all of you. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Things are happening. Things are shaking up. Judgment is real. It's really happening. It's really happening. Things are moving. Things are shaking. So I'm going to end in prayer here. Father God, I just thank you so much for everybody watching. I thank you, Father God, for the Revelation Red Pill. I thank you, Father God, that we are not living in the end times. We are not living in the last days, but we are living in the last days of something, that we are on the precipice of something great, that you are transforming us by the renewing of our mind. Prepare us for what is happening. Prepare everybody for the Revelation Red Pill that we are going to actually experience in our lifetime, the coming in the clouds of Jesus. You are coming, and it's a different kind of coming. What people are feeling is not, it is real. They are feeling that you are going to come and you're going to transform, but it doesn't mean that's the end of time. It doesn't mean that we're going to go through a great tribulation. Guys, we've already been in a great tribulation. Christians around the world are being persecuted day in and day out. There are children being sex trafficked. There are people being harmed and punished, and it's because Christians are so focused on whether there's a red heifer or a third temple that we aren't stopping the injustices. So Father God, I just ask you to raise up righteous men and women who will stop the injustices, who will rain down righteousness. I thank you, Father God, that you are speaking to us with signs in the skies and in the heavens, that the first solar eclipse and the blood moons that we've seen and the stars in the sky, they all add up to something. You're speaking to us, and may we listen. May we hear what you're trying to tell us. This 7 years, I believe that you've given a time between the two solar eclipses as a time of repentance. So I pray, Father God, as we come up to the October or the April 8th moment, we know that I believe that seals are going to be unleashed. I believe that kind of almost all hell will break out, but your people will be saved. Father God, I just pray for everybody watching right now that you mark them, that you set them apart, that you keep them safe, that the blood of Jesus will be on their doorstep. I pray for their families. I pray for revival. I pray for love. I pray for joy. I pray for peace.
I pray for safe travels for everybody who will be traveling to this eclipse. I pray for everybody who can't come, that you still meet them where they're at. That all of America is going to see some partial eclipse. And it's going to be real and they're going to experience it. And you're going to talk to us. And I ask that those 2 hours that we all are going to experience on April 8th, that we take that time in the darkness to see the light. That you bring healing. That you bring transformation, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I thank you for everybody watching. I thank you that you're going to provide for them and take care of them. I thank you that you're transforming this country and transforming every nation around the world. And we're going to seek you. We're on the precipice of another giant leap forward. And all the chains that are holding families back, holding relationships back, holding kids back are going to be broken right now. I just speak that over your life right now. Chains broken. Chains broken on your mind, on your finances, on your relationship, and on your relationship with the Creator. I rebuke the spirit of fear, and I just release the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control over you and your life and your mind and your family right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before I go, I want you guys to check out my mom's blog. She's done a video. Let's see if we can find it here. We're gonna pop over to Rumble. Patriot Gallery. Why can't I bring up the right screen? There we go. So Patriot Gallery did a video. She's feeling better. So, but keep her in her prayers. You can learn a lot about what she's going through in this video. Barry says he's there to open it. Barry's back. Barry's here. Okay, we're gonna open it. All right, Michelle. Good thing we waited. So check this out. What mom does is she does honesty series, God Was in the Furnace of Affliction and Death, with me, written by PG. Then what she does is what I wait, and she edits it. She into two parts, and she edits out the ums and all the different things. And I usually play her on 1.5 times. So listen to that. This is a testimony. My mom basically died and came back to life, and you're going to hear this testimony. I want you guys to listen to it. It's very powerful. It's very emotional. It's very raw. It's very real, and it's very vulnerable. She tells you about how God has delivered her from smoking and from drinking pop, and she's a different person than she was just 4 weeks ago. Our whole house is different than it was 4 weeks ago. Matt's been revamping her room. We have washed all of her clothes, about 20 loads worth, to get any nicotine smell or smoke smell out. This is huge. And I'm going to say this because I feel like this is important, and I've been meaning to tell Rose. When we all prayed for Kirby had the brain aneurysm. He came to me with tears in his eyes, this man of God who loved his wife. And he said, Leah, pray for me. I want to quit smoking. I think he was 60, 65, 66, maybe a little bit older than that. I don't know. And I said, Kirby, that's not where God has, that's not God's issue with you right now. I want you to release yourself of that guilt and the shame behind that. Because what Kirby did between the time we prayed with him, are you coming down for what Kirby did from the time we prayed with him and the time that he ended up actually passing away? Oh, I see. Sorry, wrong one. He did what God wanted him to do, which is get his life right, love his wife. He and his wife Rose started to pray together every day. They hadn't prayed together. They loved each other since high school, but they had never told each other that they had loved each other maybe 3 or 4 times. His whole family testified to the fact that his life changed. And God wasn't cared about his smoking. He didn't. God cared about it, and he cared about it because Kirby cared about it. But what God wanted Kirby to do was not quit smoking. What God wanted Kirby to do was to love his family, get his life right with his family, love his wife, and be the Christian man that his wife had wanted him to be, and be that rock. And the only thing Rose said was that the new Kirby that she had, that like 5 or 6 months, this time was just a little, she just said it was just too short. But we were able to pray him into the kingdom. The time was set for Kirby to go home. Rose, as hard as it is and as broken as her heart is, God is healing it and is showing her and talking to her in a way that you get, he got, they got a time, they got a time to make it right. And then they got extra time while he was in the hospital to make things right. And we were able to give him dreams and visions, and they were able to communicate, even though he couldn't communicate, he could communicate in the spirit. Our friend Sam was able to communicate in the spirit with an uncle who passed away. Before he passed away, she was able to communicate with him in the spirit. She said she saw his life flash before his eyes, not the way he had experienced it, but the way other people had experienced it. So you have to know, guys, when you die, you're going to see how we interact with each other, and you're going to see it. And it's not so. My mom always says you're going to be held accountable for every idle word spoken. Make sure that what you say, watch your words. And God does forgive us, but we're going to see our lives flash before us, and how we interacted with people and how we dealt with people. And you want that to be a good experience. And so Kirby was able to make that moment with God the right one. And I just find it a very God thing that we prayed with Kirby, that we had a very intense connection with him for 5 or 6 months. I don't know. We don't usually do this. We don't normally out of the blue become a spiritual kind of connector. He wanted us to baptize him really badly. There was a connection there between our ministry and Kirby and his wife Rose. And when we die, we don't die. And there are requests that we can make, and there are things that we do when we reach heaven.
And we all want to live as long as possible. But as Paul said, what, in like 1st or 2nd Corinthians, somewhere around in there, like, we are not as those that have no hope.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like Paul said, you know, whether I live or whether I die, I'm serving Christ. So, you know.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a coincidence that that was one of the prayer requests that Kirby really wanted me to pray about. And we're also praying for Rose for a certain skin thing to be healed up. And hopefully it'll be healed up. Because Jim used castor oil and it healed cancer on his face or chest, I think. I believe, and this is something I believe, I don't have anything to prove this. I believe that Kirby went to meet Jesus. And there was an exchange that happened. As we prayed for Kirby, as we prayed for Rose, as we poured ourselves in, and we all poured ourselves into him. I believe that he prayed for my mom to get what he wanted at the very end of his life, that she would be able to live out her days freed in a way that he wasn't able to be freed in this natural life.
I think it's just part of the great cloud of witnesses, again, as it talks about in Hebrews.
Mm. Yeah, and he's still around. And so it's almost like,
just because, you know, if we're looking through our natural eyes, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real.
Yeah. So I think Kirby prayed for my mom, and it was a really big deal for him. And it was like, God, I know you could have delivered me from this if I had stuck around a little bit longer. So what you were going to give to me, give to Jeannie Lee and Michelle. I don't know how it works. It's something I believe the Lord spoke to me. And so, guys, pray for people, pour into other people, because you don't know what's going to come back to you. All right. Would you open that, Matt? So this came all the way from the UK.
Yeah, there's a lot of tape here to get it across the pond. So it's a matter of trying to cut this thing open without destroying everything.
Okay, looks like some DVDs. All Creatures Great and Small, Series 6. Do you know this one?
No, but you probably need to add a British accent on there, right?
Starring Christopher Timothy as James Herriot, Robert Hardy as Sigmund Farren, and Linda Bellingham as Helen Herriot. Here in the beautiful post-war Yorkshire Dales, our favorite veterinarians face many trials, not all of which are animal in origin. Of course, there are the usual farm and domestic issues. And here we've introduced to cats, dogs, rabbits, piglets, all of which receive the best treatment Darrowby has to offer. But as always, it's the people who are the real problem. So it looks like it is a fictional TV show about a veterinarian. Oh, that looks fun. That looks very cool. Family friendly.
Yep. Oh. Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Okay, thanks, Barry. We will watch that. A History of the Church in Wales. Oh my gosh, is this going to be about the Welsh Revival, you think?
I don't know.
This new History of the Church of Wales, written at the invitation of the Archbishop and Bishop of Wales, appears under the aegis of the Historical Society and Church in Wales. When an independent Welsh province of an Anglican communion was formally set up in 1920, it was heir to many ancient traditions. The story ranges from the growth of Christianity in Wales and the development of the medieval church, the impact of the Reformation, the interaction between Anglicans and dissenters in Wales, and the shattering effects of industrialization. The challenges and tensions of independence give the history of the 20th century a distinctive quality. Well, Barry, there's a card in here from Mom. This looks like you found a kind of a gem here for us to research here. I will read it. Yeah. What? Oh, should we open this or no?
No, go ahead. She'll watch it back.
Okay. Mom fell asleep.
Oh, it's a Wales thing. What does it say? Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Oh, get out. No, it's folded on purpose so you show it like that. It's a 10-pound note. Huh? Wait, no, they can't see it.
Yeah, it's reflecting.
No, wait. There we go. So now, wait. Now open it, Leah, while I'm holding it so they can see that it's clear.
That is so cool.
We don't have a money like that.
Here's what I like to do, Leah. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Ready?
So how did you flip to that where it's just straight from the camera? And not the live.
Oh, wait, there's a bunch in here.
Because that eliminates the delay. That really helps things.
Look at these.
Barry, these are so cool.
What? We don't have money like this. Who has money with clear?
Is this real money?
Clear.
Hang on. Is it real money, though? It doesn't feel like it's real. It's plastic.
It says a promise to pay the bearer 20 pounds.
I don't know what their currency looks like right now, but...
there's her face. There it is, right there.
It reminds me of how they made, like, baseball cards or, like, football cards, like, back in the day, years ago. Where they have, like, some sort of hologram type thing on them. They're so delicate.
I have never seen a clear money. Yeah, that's very interesting.
This is fascinating.
This is absolutely fascinating. Wow, Barry.
And it's got it's embossed on the in the corner here. What's
so
it say?
He says,
did you read from the beginning?
Gwelhad Bwam.
But that's probably the Schwalm, right?
PG.
He always Schwalme.
I hope by the time you get this, all is well and you're fully recovered. But I thought I would send you this as I was thought as the front of the card is Welsh for get well soon. I'm glad you enjoyed your fish and chip supper in the hospital, and I looked up the cost of the whole meal online, and you saved money.
Is that why the money's here? Oh, that's my hilarious. Gosh.
We said it was so a joke. Hilarious. We said dinner's on you. So as promised, time and time again, I know you were joking, but here's the equivalent UK sterling pounds for your meal.
When you
come back to the UK with your girls, I'll treat you to a real British fish and chip supper.
So we have to save it till we come see you in person.
We'll have to bring it with us.
That is the coolest thing ever. He says, that's yes, awesome. It's real money. Yes, it was for the fish and chips. Sherry guessed it. She said, is that to buy the fish and chips?
It's like, it's not even paper. It's like plasticky.
Oh my gosh, Barry, you're the best ever.
Like I said, it
We'll have to show it to mom.
We have to just kind of like set it out or something.
No, you have to show it to mom though, but we will set it out.
Yeah, it looks like baseball cards. Barry. Or something with
That's hilarious.
The fancy holograms on there.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Our Holy Ground, the Welsh Christian Experience.
Our Holy Ground places the Welsh Christian experience within its wider historic context. In text and image, the book begins with the origins of a people and the shaping of a Christian people in the post-Roman era. The story ends with the challenges and potential of the 21st century, often described as post-Christian. Here is a journey through Welsh history, a pilgrimage through contemporary Wales. Wow. This book, Our Holy Ground, invites us to take a look at the inspiring dimension of divine saving history within this land, and it does so with wisdom, discernment, and sensitivity to the work of the Spirit. This is a story that can both inspire and teach us.
Let's just pause for our viewers that may, you should all know this if you're regulars, but Barry keeps telling us that he's the resident pagan. He has not yet converted to Christianity, even though I say he's closer to Christianity than he possibly knows. Sending us
these
amazing books on Christianity and God.
Mr. Bates versus the Post Office.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, I couldn't wait to watch it. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
We haven't watched this yet, have we?
No.
But we talked about it.
We talked about it because we wanted to watch it. Oh, man.
So this is a guy that, so in the UK, if you guys didn't know this, their post offices are very unique. They're like sometimes the only place at all for people to go to in these rural regions.
Are there banks in the post
There's
office?
Banks. You can do money orders. It's like it's the place to go besides the pub there. And these and this a bunch of postmasters were, because they got a new system, were wrongfully accused of stealing money. And they ruined their lives. And some of them went to jail and they didn't do anything. And so the guy, Mr. Bates, was the one guy who fought.
We did a whole like kind of section of our show on it once. If you see, this is what I like to do, Leah. Let me show you. This is a little bit shrunk, then you can leave the chat up to the right, you see, and then you can. So South Paul says, thank you, Resistance Chicks and Matt, for spending your night with us. Matt, it was so kind of you to spend your birthday night with everybody.
Our Holy Ground has added to our attempt at a geographically widely encompassing map precisely that which two-dimensional depictions are able to invite in, the eternal dimension. The book invites us to take a look at the inspiring dimension of divine saving history within this land, and it does so with wisdom, discernment, and sensitivity to the work of the Holy Spirit that one can expect from these two greatly loved servants of the Lord who have served God and the people of Wales so faithfully and pioneeringly. They hope that the book will help us rediscover our roots and prepare us to face God's future humbly and confidently. No one could be better placed than John Morgans and Peter Noble. All right, so ancient stones speak.
She was watching the whole time. She loved the money and everything.
She loved it. Okay.
Yeah. Living,
she's very impressed. Living stones speak even more eloquently. Two images haunted us. Two contexts haunted us. They were both simplicity and mystery.
It had frozen for a second.
Okay.
So that's what everybody was. Barry says, I'm so remote where I live, my nearest post office is 3 miles away.
Oh, wow.
Ours is 3 miles away, too, but we live in a big city. I can guess why yours is, it's a big deal. Oh, wow.
There's color pictures in this book.
That's amazing.
It's very Christian. Oh, wow. Look at this. Oh, wow. Look at these guys. Huh. Beautiful churches. Very spiritual. Ooh, cool. The Nevering Cross.
Did you get this out? Is this why this is sitting out?
No. It's just out. Well, Barry, this is very, very thoughtful.
Did he send this in the package?
No, that's just been sitting there.
Why was it sitting here?
It just sits there because we do so much with the UK. It's just so beautiful, too. Like, that's
what life
should
be. He says there should be another card in there, too.
Okay. Oops, somebody.
In this book, Barry?
Somebody highlighted in both books or in one book. Oh, here it is. Ta-da!
Look at that. Ta-da! What's it say?
Leah Michelle. It says Pen.
You shouldn't say Leah and Michelle. It was for your birthday. I'll get
Pen Blurjund.
Oh, Hapus. Come on. He keeps sending us these.
Schwalmo. How do you say it?
Schmail.
I've been looking for a Welsh English Bible for ages for you, but I haven't found one. I did find these books for you. I hope they are okay. As requested, I also found the DVD documentary of Mr. Bates and the post office, though also the other DVD box set is an old farming show from the 1980s. I'm sure you all love. I hope you had a great birthday, Leah, and also hope PG gets better soon. Keep on with your great shows too. They are brilliant, humorous, and entertaining. In case you need a translation, Pen Blurjid Hapis is Welsh for a happy birthday. Shomay is hello. P.S. Thanks again for the Founders Bible. It's great.
Nas weitha. Good afternoon in Welsh.
So the Founders Bible was a joint effort between, and that was actually
Sherry paid for the Bible. We just paid for the shipping.
Sherry sent you the Bible, and it was
her idea.
We love the fact that we are a wonderful family. So thank you, Barry. This is fantastic. I know I can now see why you are so eager for us to open it up, even if it's, what time is it?
Oh my gosh, so late.
4 a.m. When does Barry sleep? Because our show.
Almost. It's 3:45.
Oh my goodness. Okay, you can go to sleep now, Barry. Good night. Good morning. How do you say good morning in Welsh?
No, wait, it is 4:45. It's 3:45.
Some of those Welsh, like, shepherds and farmers, occasionally they give lessons in Welsh where they say something and then they say, well, this is what it means.
Matt knows more about Wales than we do. He's been on the farmer thing.
Yeah, it kind of goes over my head sometimes because, you know, with any foreign language, there's sounds and stuff they're not used to.
So Matt would like you to send a whole farm in the mail, complete with 2 or 3 border collies, a bunch of sheep, and some grass.
If anybody
can make that happen.
Or just pray.
Yeah.
Your prayers work.
Because that's his desire, is to be a shepherd with sheepdogs.
Yes, sir.
Try not to get stuck in the bog like the guy that's traveling across the UK.
Oh, no, he got stuck.
Yep, had to get himself out.
You want a half a farm?
Sure, you mean.
Can I have half a farm? A half farm? No, there's no half farm. We live on a farm. It's 1 acre. We call it a farm. So there's no such thing as a half farm. It's either a farm.
Did we sing Happy Birthday to Matt?
No, let's do it.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, dear Matthew David.
Happy birthday to you.
You know what Barry said in the chat?
What?
He said that his brother that passed away 5 mm-hmm. years ago, his birthday was today.
Oh, wow.
How special. Same birthday as Matt.
Wow.
And you opened up his package today.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a sign.
Throw in a couple of those
Lord.
Scottish eggs. Actually, are pretty good. And I like the mustard.
Barry, that is a sign from God that your package got opened on the day of your brother's birthday that he shares with Matt. And God is saying, Barry, I love you and I'm so proud of you.
That's, I love it. All right, you guys, we're going to sign off here. Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to play our reel for the eclipse
promo. And so this promo is available on Rumble for you guys to share with all of your people that live anywhere within driving distance of this eclipse. Driving distance is like 6 hours.
Britt Bodza, you do have a farm. You have 3 acres and you have a mountain. Yes.
Yeah. So share the promo video.
You need some cows, Barry.
From our Rumble
chickens.
Channel to get people there. And I want to clarify something before we go. There was some confusion about the post that I made when I shared that video with everybody.
Okay.
There was a confusion with one person that I got it sorted and they're not upset now. But the way that I worded it, if you want to experience the miraculous event, you have to be, I said, do you think 99% is enough? 99% totality is enough? It's not. If you want to experience the miraculous event of totality, you have to be there or in. They thought that I meant in order to worship God properly, you have to be there. And if you don't, 99% is not enough. And that's not true. I meant scientifically speaking.
And there's maps of where it's crossing the United States. It's covering a lot of territory. So if you're a long ways away, you can view it somewhere else. That's fine.
You need to be in the path of totality to experience what we're talking about as far as the absolute darkness, the temperature drops by 20 degrees, the birds stop chirping, the everything pauses, the stars come out. It's a thing that people chase around the world. In order to experience that thing, just being in 99% of coverage, you will not experience the scientific thing. I didn't mean the miraculous event of the day of everything that God's doing.
You can watch it online.
Okay.
Jenny says, I have 30 acres, sheep, two huge guardian dogs, and alpacas.
Three alpacas. So, Jenny, you better be coming to the eclipse and you need to give Scott advice.
Not too far from us, yeah.
On his guardian dogs he's getting.
Awesome. That's the life. So you're living the life. Tonight was great fellowship. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, happy birthday, Matt. And happy birthday to Barry's brother.
All right, you guys. We love you. God loves you. God bless. Remember, it's not just conspiracy theory. It's actually the truth.
Boom.
April 7th, April 8th, and April 8th, the main event. This is the eclipse of a lifetime, and you don't want to miss it. We're doing an event up in Brookville, Ohio. We're bringing together the patriots all over the nation that want to join with the main focus of people that'll be there, people you want to meet. If you're not part of Bard's Nation and part of Resistance Nation, then you want to come. And if you're part of Bard's Nation and part of Resistance Nation, get on up there. It's going to begin on April 7th, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., where we are literally going to light this evening off with prayer, worship, revival. We're going to do the whole thing, and we're going to pray for repentance of our nation, and then that we're going to go as late as we need to with the Holy Spirit, and then coming up the next morning, starting at 10 a.m. through the whole day and right through the middle of the total darkness, we're going to be doing revival, and we're going to be doing prayers, and we're going to do worship, and we're literally going to bring the power of God and Holy Spirit into our lives and into the nation. So join us. You want to be there. It's one of the most biggest events of your life. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be something that will transform you. It will lift you. It will raise you. It will literally transform everything you are in life. And if you don't think it's going to be that big, just come and find out, because it's going to be that great. We're excited to have you. We're excited to celebrate the glory of God. We're excited to be part of something more significant than any of us can comprehend. The places it's doing, what it's representing, all of the amazing things that it's doing, going through the cities of Nivana and all these other events. If you just study what this eclipse is about, it's undeniable that it's literally the touch of God. So come with us, be with us, travel the journey with us, be with us. You need to go to bardsfest.com, and click on the registration button. So we want you to register beforehand. We want you to be there. Small donation, whatever you can afford or can't, we still want you there. Because this is an event that transforms the world. This is when God's speaking. He speaks in signs and wonders. And this is a time to experience it together, together in prayer, together in worship, and truly in the glory of our Father as our nation is transformed and evil is crushed. We're going to be part of it. We're going to lead it. And we're going to celebrate it.
And if you can't make it to Ohio, you can head down to Texas, Clamato, Texas, with Pastor Rod Parker. They're also going to be having a revival. Both events can be found once again on bardsfest.com. If you are in a city that only has 99% of totality, it's not enough. You will not get to experience the amazing effects of a total solar eclipse that is a once in a lifetime, or twice if you were there in 2017, opportunity for those in America. This is something that will shake you to your core. You must come if you can. Pray about it. Take a step of faith. Go to bardsfest.com and register and tell everybody that you know this is the event of a lifetime. And I promise you, you will not go home the same.
Jesus says he's at the door and waiting to be let in. Open the door. Let him in. Set his place at the table and sit down and dine. And that's what we are going to do. And what you will leave, you will not leave as you came. You will be transformed. That we know.
Amen. We'll see you April 8th.
April 8th. See you there. God bless.